Blog Talk Radio. All right. Thanks for being with us tonight. All right. Don't know where that came from. Hang on just a second here. Hang on just a minute. We are here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And good night to be alive, y'all. Praise God. We're going to make it. It's all going to be worked out for good. That's what you got to think about. It's all going to be worked out for good. It may not look like it. May not seem like it. May not feel like it. But it is. So just get used to it, right? Or try to get used to it. Yeah, if you listened to us last night, you heard us talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death and fearing no evil. Probably one of the most powerful words that I personally feel like was right in the now and a prophetic revelation from the Lord. Yeah, you get a chance to go back and listen to that. It's probably one of the most powerful words I feel like I have given and revelation maybe in a while. I don't know. It's just really awesome. So you get a chance to go listen to it, do that, last night's show, Monday night show, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and how it's a prophetic word for us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, in every kind of way you can think of. It is to help us prepare for the future, not that it's going to be that bad, but it's just to help you know that what you go through, to know why you're going through something. What's it all about? What's God trying to do in the situations that you walk through? Really, what it's about? It's about that very thing. And so, yeah. I don't mind bragging on the Lord for sure. It was really, really cool, and I just couldn't get enough of it. I could have kept on preaching about it. In fact, tonight I may share a little bit about it. I'm sure we'll see what goes on. But get ready for some really good stuff, right? I think God's really going to bless us with some really, really cool stuff. So open up your heart and get ready for God to bless and do some wonderful, wonderful things for all of us, because we're entering into a new season of God giving us a purpose. Breaking the fear of death off of us and setting us free from the fear of death, and not just death of dying physically, but the fear of death of losing things, losing like Job lost, like a lot of people lost in the Bible. The fear of loss is probably the greatest fear, I think, that people deal with without even realizing that, that's what they're dealing with. And so as we have talked about it, you know, just open up your heart and let the Lord begin to speak to you about that and go back and listen to last night's message. All right. Okay. So we are going to share with you a little bit tonight, see what the Lord's saying tonight, and opening up our hearts for ministry. And, you know, there's some things that Jesus marveled at. You know, I've noticed in Scripture he marveled at people's faith, but he also marveled at their unbelief. Can you believe that? I read a scripture today that says that Jesus marveled at their unbelief. I couldn't hardly believe he marveled at unbelief, but he did. It was absolutely amazing. And once you see it, you start understanding they had the very Messiah, the King of all the earth, the one who created it, and he's standing right there in front of them, done miracle after miracle, and people still had a hard time believing. And I think some of us can relate to that in some ways, but a lot of it was back then about healing, about receiving their breakthrough in their life from God and believing God for whatever they needed. Jesus took care of the poor and the needy. He literally gave money to the poor and the needy and helped the poor and needy. I think every ministry should do that and really believe God to open you up to helping the poor and the needy. And that's just really a big thing with God. But, you know, he marveled at their unbelief. I mean, it's amazing. It's not really my message tonight, but I couldn't believe I was listening to a scripture today. And it was just amazing how he marveled at their unbelief, Yeah. All right. So that's one of the things that Jesus marveled at. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. That's not my message tonight. I want to talk tonight to you about something God gave me yesterday, actually. I don't know who needs this tonight, but get ready because I'm going to give it to you. And it's a really cool word. The Bible talks about, and where's that? Let's see, let's go here. Hang on a second. Okay. Not wanting to go there. Oh, here we go. All right, Matthew 5. I want to look at this for a minute. Some of you are very familiar with this scripture, Matthew 5, verse 13. Let's look in the New King James Version, just for the fun of it. What do you say? New King James Version. You know, Matthew 5 is where Jesus talked about, you know, blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven, all that. And you go down here to verse 13, and he talks about believers are light and salt. They are salt and light. And Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So the way I saw this tonight may surprise you. But I started realizing that salt was good for one thing. Other than retaining water, which I don't like about it in some way, back in the old football days, that's what the coaches did. They gave you salt field to keep you from sweating all your salt out, all your water out, your liquid. So here we are. So salt is used for different things. And one of the things that God just gave me was, you know, some of us, I think a little bit of all of us at times, we lose our flavor for things. You know, everything in life, good, even the good things, start tasting bland. I mean, it doesn't matter if something good goes on. It's like, oh, that's just bland. My life is bland. Everything I do is bland. And
And the Lord is saying to us tonight, I want to fix it. I want to fix your life. I want to help you to walk through life with a salty attitude. What's a salty attitude? A salty attitude is an attitude where you, when you, no matter what you're partaking of, the flavor in it really comes out to you. It's just like having a steak or some chicken or some veggies or whatever, whatever food that you like. And you can't taste the flavors in it. So what does a little bit of salt do? A little bit of salt brings the flavor out of your meal, whatever you're eating. You don't have to put a lot on there. People came against salt pretty good because people OD'd on salt. But in all truth, salt is something that brings the flavor out of things. And so the Lord was just speaking to me. I mean, I just was going along and realizing that, you know, salt helps you, helps life taste full to you. It brings out the flavors of everything, right? Whatever you're going through, it becomes really delicious. Sometimes when people go through things, they don't see the God in it. They don't see the good in it. They don't see the salt. The salt. The salt in your life has gone. It's gone. Seasonless. You have no seasons. Your seasons have no seasoning in them. So all your seasons have no seasoning in them, and you end up everything's bland. Everything's dry. You know, you're eating what other people eating, and everybody's just eating life, and they're kind of like going along. They're eating their circumstance. They're partaking of their life, and they're going like, "Wow, man, this is like awesome, dude. You know what I'm talking about? This is really good." And they really just like, what is wrong with them? What are they getting out? How are they getting that? It's because they got salt in their life. Salt in their life. When things go through your system, through your mind, through your will, through your emotions, through your the part of you that tastes life, the salt in you brings all the good flavors out, all the good flavors. And so life becomes flavorful. Your seasons become seasoned with flavor, with, oh, my gosh, I'm not lukewarm anymore. I'm not dull. My taste buds are alive. And the salt is bringing life to a flavorful seasoning that, oh, my gosh, this is the best food I've ever had in my life. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And everything Jesus did had flavor to it. Because when you lose your seasoning, the flavors that salt brings out in everything in your life, even the good things get to where they just taste like, blah, well, you got anything good going on? Well, not really. Well, you got anything good going on? Well, not too much. No, not really. Why? Because the salt in their life. They have no salt. God says, I want to increase your salt levels. Yeah, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. Right? And then he talks about being the light of the world. Well, you know, friend, I mean, this is what's happening. But it's amazing how these two scriptures are kind of connected together, because the light that you walk in reveals to you the goodness in things. Yeah, it repels the evil. It shows you the evil, but you resist the evil because you see the good in things. You see God. You see just like people who have suffered in the Bible. You know, like we talk about Job off and on here, or quite a bit actually. And you know, he says, "Though you slay me, yet I'm going to praise you." Why? Because his salt was salt. He was he didn't know what was going on, but he was tasting life. That even though it was kind of bitter right now, there was something good. He could tell there was going to be something good about this thing, and all he had to do is just not lose his salt. He says, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. So he found something good in it, in that even though everything was going wrong, the salt in his life gave him a flavorful seasoning to be able to taste the goodness of God and say, God, you're good. My circumstances are bad, but I taste you. I feel you. I see you, and I see good in what I'm going through. I'm tasting you in this thing. My lemons is turning into lemonade because my flavors are changing. My ability to taste life is changing. And the Lord started speaking to me. He said, Randy, the reason that Jesus was so full of life was because his salt level was very seasoned. And whatever he tasted of life, even when it was bitter, he saw the good in it. He knew that the Father was involved in him giving his life, and he was doing everything he did it unto the Lord. So when you have salt in your life, even though things may be bad, you can taste that, you know, God, I don't know what's going on, but I know you're with me, and I can taste you in this thing. Because the saltiness in your life, friend, brings out the flavors of God in your circumstances and what's going on, where you can praise him and thank him, though everything may be going backwards, everything may be contrary at times. But the salt is able to bring out the flavors of God in everything you're doing, where you're lifting him up, where you're praising him, where you're able to sing songs to him. Why? Because you can taste God in the midst of all this stuff, because you're seasoning the flavorfulness of your life. You can taste the flavors of God because you have God in your life, and your seasoning hasn't gone, you know, worthless, like the Bible talks about here. It is seasoned. It is flavorful. So whatever you get into, it doesn't matter what it is, good, bad, or ugly. I know people that have good things going on. They haven't got really that much bad going on. And you ask them, how's it going? Just same old thing, just kind of like trying to make it, you know, anything wrong going on? Well, not really, but what's happening is that they've lost the salt, their seasoning has lost its flavor. And therefore, even the good foods of life just taste like the same old thing, the same old stuff, the same old way. So the Lord is saying, I want you to learn how to season your life, to ask God to pour in the seasoning into your life, to give you a new level of salt. May your salt come alive inside of you so that you can taste the God in life. Because, friend, there's always going to be the ungodly in life, the things that are not godly that are going to come against you. But we, just like, you know, the Bible says, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. Right? Some people miss the very blessing that God is coming, he's bringing their way, because they can't taste it. They can't sense it. They can't know it. And it discourages them. So I'm praying tonight for you that God will cause your salt to be seasoned, to cause it to be flavorful, to cause it to do its job, so that because you have Jesus on the inside of you, the Lamb of God on the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you can taste him. You can get good out of everything because you can taste God. You can taste the presence of God. You can sense the presence of the Lord in everything that's going on. Because sometimes it seems like everything tastes bitter. Everything tastes bad. Everything is wrong. But friend, it doesn't matter if everything is going wrong around you. You have Jesus inside you. You have the Holy Ghost inside you. You've got the Holy Spirit inside you. And because you do, all you need is that seasoning. Say, God, quicken my seasoning. Quicken my salt. Let my salt be seasoned with flavor. Because the Bible says if your salt loses its flavor, but friend, if your salt gains its flavor, life becomes, even with all the bad things, the flavor of God, tasting God inside you is what keeps you looking to him and sensing him and tasting him in everything that you go through. Everything that you're going through, friend. The salt, you are the salt of the earth. What is the salt of the earth? The salt of the earth is, even though I've got a lot of bad things going on the inside of me, I can taste the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I can taste the Lord Jesus. I fear no evil because thou art with me. I can taste you. People that have Jesus inside them, sometimes they lose their taste. They can't taste God in situations, and they start losing heart. The flavors of God, the enjoyment of being able to rejoice in the midst of turmoil, that's what the salt does. The salt brings God alive. It's not going to bring the bitterness alive. It's going to bring God alive inside you. He gives you the salt so you can taste the good things of life. So the good foods, you can taste every little bit of the flavor in that meat. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. And believe me, friend, Jesus knows how to season your life. He knows how to bring the salt into you. And he's not going to change, but he's going to change the salt level in your life, the seasoning level, the flavor level of your salt, where you can put just a little bit of salt on something in your life and taste God right in the midst of it. Right, friend? Because the salt is in you. You are the salt of the earth. The salt is in you. So, Lord Jesus, I pray tonight, this simple, simple message tonight, that those who are struggling with the flavors of life, they're starting to taste all the bitter things in life because it sometimes gets very oppressive, very strong. I'm praying tonight in the name of Jesus that you will feel the saltiness of God, that you are the salt of the earth. And you're not losing your salt's flavor. You're gaining it. In Jesus' name, I loosen the seasoning of God. How can your life be seasoned when you have no salt? That's what it says. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? In other words, how's your life going to have seasoning in it? Flavor, life, joy, peace, suffering, goodness, mercies. That's what brings, you know what brings the mercy out of some unmerciful situations is the seasoning of God. He brings out the mercy. You can taste the mercies of God in the midst of your pain. That's what the salt of the earth does. That's what salt does. It brings out the goodness of God, the goodness, the taste of goodness. Oh, my goodness, God is good. Though I'm struggling, though I'm troubled, though I'm going through a valley, I'm walking through this valley. God, I thank you that I sense your seasoning. My season is seasoned with salt. And I can taste your mercies. I can taste your healing power. I can taste your grace. I can taste your favor. Because, friend, you have favor inside you, but you can't taste it. You can't realize that it's there unless your salt is fully seasoned. Taste the goodness of God. Taste and see. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord Almighty is good. He's a good God. But it doesn't seem good if your salt has lost its flavor. God, increase our seasoning. Increase the taste, the flavor of our salt, God, so that our life will be seasoned with the goodness and the mercies and the graciousness of God. Hallelujah. God, I pray tonight that whoever's going through, you have the same Jesus in you that I have in me. You have the same Jesus in you that person who's going through hell. It seems to have joy and peace. How are they doing that? How are they tasting joy and peace in the midst of a bitter circumstance? Because, friend, their salt has not lost its flavor. They keep their lives salted up with God. And their seasoning, wherever they go, that seasons out and causes them to really taste every flavor in the meat. Jesus said, my meat. Oh, man, have you ever had a spot of meat just spiced just right? And, oh, the flavor, just you sit there and you goo and you go, and you ooh. Maybe you don't like food as much as I do. But when I get food and it's spiced right, and I'm pretty good at spicing food because I don't spice it a lot, and I put just enough salt on there to bring out the flavors, and everybody thinks I've got some special, like Father's Day we had steak, and everybody thought that they think I've got some special recipe in the background hiding it in my pocket or something. And it's not. It's just some simple flavors of salt, different flavors of salt, different kinds of salt, and not a lot, but just put on it. And it brings out the flavor of the meat with that meat. But you get the full seasoning. You get the full flavor of the meat. And, my God, you sit there like a pig going, oh, my God, this is so awesome, right? You're smacking and just making a mess. Oh, my God. And that's the way God wants you to be in the midst of your turmoil, friend, in the midst of your struggle. He wants you to taste his goodness. When your salt is seasoned, when your seasoning salt is flavorful, it will bring out the goodness of God all around you. You'll taste it everywhere you go. The will of God that you're in right now may not be pleasant, but Jesus said, my meat. He seasoned his meat with salt, friend. His life was, he tasted the glory of God in the midst of his cross experience. in the midst of the Garden of Eden, he said, "Oh, Father, if there's any other way to let this, can this cup pass from me? But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." That was what caused his seasoning to be salty and flavorful, because he always submitted his will to the Father. When you start walking in your own will, friend, your flavorfulness goes down the tubes. But when you say, "Not my will, but thy will be done," the flavor of God's life in you, you'll say, "Oh, though it may seem better to go that direction, I will suffer with you, Jesus, because I'd rather taste you than taste the world. I'd rather taste you than taste the delicacies of life without you, Jesus. For I thank you, Lord, that my meat is to do your will. But sometimes, God, it just seems like your will is unflavorful. I don't sense much. I don't see much. I don't feel much. I don't taste much. It seems dull. It seems like blah, blah, blah. God, help me tonight. Help us tonight, Jesus. Put a little flavor in our salt tonight, God, so we can bring the flavors out of the Lamb of God inside of us. We can taste him and partake of him and smell his aroma. That season when that meat is cooking, man, I mean, it is amazing. Your mouth is watering. No matter what you're going through, your mouth waters to eat and partake of. Because when I'm going through valleys, friend, that's when I see Jesus and taste Jesus more than I do any other time. Sometimes I think there's something wrong with me because I'm not going, I really don't want to go through a hard time. But every time I go through a hard time, I start tasting things from God I've never tasted before. I start getting revelation. Like last night when I started preaching to you guys about, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow," I mean, I've never seen it like that before. I've never approached it like that before. It was mind-boggling to me. I want you to get a hold of it. I want you to eat the meat that God gives us because it's flavored with a seasoning from heaven. And you have that glory. You have that salt in your life every day. Get it out and start salting the Lord. Start that meat that is the will of the Father. Start salting it in Jesus' name and bring it. Don't oversalt it, but salt it just right. Learn how to salt that thing. And get all the flavors and the taste and the mercies and the kindness and the graciousness of God in the midst of your horrible circumstances. And even with good things, you need that salt. Because you can taste of the goodness of God wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, whatever situations you're in, you can taste the goodness of God, friend. It's there. Some people can taste it because they have salt in their life. Their salt is flavorful. It's salty. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. He talks about being the light of the world. A city set on a hilltop cannot be hidden. Nor they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Friend, that's what saltiness does. It brings the glory of God out of things. How do you get glory out of that, Randy? How do I get glory out of my stuff? Salt it up, man. The Lord Jesus in you has been through all of it. And the whole time, his meat never went bad. It never tasted bad. He always tasted the Father in all of his circumstances. Hallelujah. Amen. I know some of you are getting dulled out with life. It happens to me at times, too. And I have to ask the Lord, you know, I don't want to go through a problem to season my life, because you don't have to go through a problem. But even in the midst of that, when you begin to ask the Lord to give you revelation of Jesus, to let you taste the things that you're going through, tasting the Lord in the midst of all of it, it'll cause you to have joy and peace. Grace and mercy will just rise up within you. You'll be able to taste it and what you're going through. God, tonight, I pray as we get ready to take callers tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus that you and your people, you will show your people how to become salty, to say, "Not my will, but thy will be done, to let the light of the world shine on us, God. We take off all those things that are causing our salt to be flavorless, the unforgiveness, the hardness of heart, not being yielded and broken before you, Jesus. All those things make life like nothing's really, like there's not much of God in anything. But friend, when you strip all that off, you taste the very raw flavors of God Almighty. And it is amazing. It is amazing. All right, we're going to take callers now. So we're going to start early tonight. Praise God. Go back and listen to last night's message if you didn't get a chance to hear that. I think you might get something out of it. I hope that you will. So jump in there and go back on last night's show. Also, we have, you know, Jeannie's on every Monday. Make sure if you don't get text about that, what time she's on, let me know and I'll let you know. Deborah's on every Tuesday night. She was on tonight. As I text everybody, let them know about that. If you're not on our text alerts, let us know, and I'll get it to you. And also, Terrence and Tanisha are on every Wednesday and most Sundays. And so, you know, join in with them. Man, I've been hearing some really good things about our hosts, some really great words coming out. So jump in there. Some of them are preaching some of the things I'm preaching, and they preach it before I preach it. So it looks like I'm preaching their stuff. I love it. It's just beautiful. It's the glory of God moving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we have our friends on the weekend. You never know who's going to be on the weekend. This last weekend we had Sunday. Sondra was on Sunday. Some of you guys got to get in on some of that. And then Friday nights we have, right now we have, we don't have anybody on Saturday as far as consistently on Saturday right now. So pray for our Saturday shows that we get somebody in on Saturday. And so we have our friend LaShun. She's there every Friday. So make sure you join with her on Fridays and partake of some of the prophetic information and the encouragement that comes through our host friend. It's really, really, really good. So jump in there and be a part. We want you to get the full benefit of PGM. Amen? Yeah. All right. Let's take callers tonight, see what's going on tonight. Thank you for being with us. And we're here to pray for you, minister to you. All right, so let's take our first caller tonight. I think we have Martine on tonight. Let's talk to her and minister to her. Hang on a second. Let's get going here. Let me get some water. All right, Martine. I think we got Martini on tonight with us. Hallelujah.
Hello.
Hey, Martine, how's it going tonight?
Well, pretty good. How about you?
It's Tuesday, and I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Just,
yeah, I've had to talk to you on a non-Wednesday. I've been calling on Wednesdays, and so we haven't really chatted for a while.
I know. Yeah. You said Mondays were your favorite, and then I never see you on Mondays anymore. So it's like you just like...
Oh, the catch
going
is...
on vacation.
I have to use my daughter's phone, and she typically works on Mondays. So if she gets home late, then I can't call you. So that's the reason. So I'm kind of forced.
you just ground her for being late.
Right. No, I have to ground her company for giving her a later shift.
there you go. Yeah, do that. Or she just needs to get a different job.
Okay.
Door plan. Just try to get a different job and a better paying one.
No, I agree.
make more and work less. All right, let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you for a second. Let's pray for you tonight. Martine, good to have you. All right, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for her laughter, God. I thank you for the laughter. The true God, gut-busting, belly-flopping, laughing God, and the freedom in her spirit, God. I just sense a season of freedom. Father, I think that I see you, God, bringing you kind of out of a limited situation into more of an unlimited thing where you're able to function more and be more free and, you know, bringing you out of your limitation thing. It's almost like I saw you in a jail cell. And the jail cell represented like being, you know, locked into – sometimes we get locked into things. Like I've been locked into certain, you know, like even jobs or certain situations or certain circumstances. You get locked into that. It's like, okay, God, I'm ready to get out of this. I'm ready to go. You know, how are we going to change this thing? And so I see the door opening up and you entering into a whole other place where there's no cells, there's no bars, there's no – in other words, that the bars represent limitations and the feeling that you're not doing, you know, like what you feel like you want to do and being blessed where you can. And so I see the Lord really unlocking those things, unlocking the door and opening that up for you where you can be free to be free. And, you know, even in your finances, of course. And so God, I thank you for opening that up for her in Jesus' name. I thank you for the keys of prayer, the keys of understanding from Martine, God, that you're opening that door for her in Jesus' name and sustaining her and teaching her how to walk and learning how to do with and without. That when she's locked up in that cell, so to speak, and locked into a sick circumstance, she can't seem to get past it or whatever, she learns how to be content with that. And like Paul the Apostle, when he was locked up and put in prison, he wrote the Bible. He wrote a lot of the Word of God, the New Testament that he wrote. And so he learned how to be content in those situations. And so when he came out, of course, you know, he said, I can be content with or without. I can be content having all I need. I can be content with having needs. And God teaching you how to be content. And I don't know what you mean going through with all that exactly, but I see a door opening up. And obviously you're doing some type of contentment thing there because I see a door opening up. Because, you know, as we talked about tonight about the seasoning thing, you know, seasoning is kind of like being content, not satisfied, but content, and being able to taste the contentment in your circumstances, being able to, you know, let it be revealed to you that you can be content in this, knowing that it's not God's full will for you, but the temporary season, just like Paul. Paul was the greatest man of God in his day. I mean, basically, that was living in the earth. And yet there he was, locked up in prison. You would think that he would have the power to break through the bars and get out of there, you know, and be free. But he wasn't, and there was a purpose in all that. So, so I see God opening that up, and some of it has to do with contentment and being able to taste, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good, and no matter what you're going through. And that's one of the things God's really trying to teach you. And anyway, there you go. So what's going on, Martini? How are you?
Yeah, a lot's going on as usual. But one thing that, you know, I've been going through some things, not some things, a thing that has completely broke my heart. But I find that it's interesting how you opened up with talking about laughter, you know, and I don't know if this is God's way of trying to help me through my pain, or maybe it started off before the pain. Let me put it this way. It was like, I'm going to say what happened. I was having dreams and laughing in my dream. It's happened about three or four times recently. And when I say laugh, like in my dream, now thinking back to each dream was so stupid. Like it didn't make any sense in reality that you would laugh like that over that. What I was looking at was just so dumb. But in my dream, I thought it was just hilarious. And I would just be laughing and laughing and laughing, just, you know, and I think I almost want to say it might have happened last night. It sure did. It happened last night, too. It sure did. To the point where I think that I might have been laughing in real life. Like I'm not even 100%. If I had someone next to me, they might be able to let me know that, but it was just such a deep laugh in my sleep, you know. And then when I wake up, I go, well, that was dumb. But why was it so funny? But I don't know. I just laughed in my sleep. And so after that, I got some bad news. After that dream, I woke up to some bad news, and just I wondered about it, like, what if God was preparing me for, you know, maybe he's trying to, you know, like, impart some laughter in me because he knew that I was going to be going through pain. I don't know. That's just a theory.
So hang on a second. So you have been having dreams like that for the last week or so?
Yeah, it's been like probably the last week where I'm just, you know, dreaming about something really dumb. I don't even remember what happened last night that I was laughing so hard. I can't even remember the dream. I just remember waking up like, what the heck was that? You know, why was I laughing so hard? The only dream that I can remember that I was laughing at, which, you know, I'm not even certain if it was really a good dream, and maybe it was preparing me for what had happened today, but it was like this a little person, and I don't know if it was a child or if it was a little person, but it was a small person, and they were in a dress, a white dress, and kind of disguising their face and walking on stilts. So the little person was walking on stilts, but the dress was covering the stilts. But I knew that it was walking on stilts, like this person was walking on stilts. And so they were walking around the room in circles and going around and kind of putting their head down, almost like they didn't want me to see their face. And I'm just standing in the room just laughing and laughing. And I'm like, what the heck is this, you know? And then I could tell the person was getting frustrated with me laughing, but I thought it was hilarious. And I woke up and I was like, that was the first dream. And maybe that's why I remember it. That was the first dream that I had. And then subsequent dreams, which I don't even remember, but it's silly like that.
Every one of them you were laughing.
Laughing, and I just can't stop. In fact, I think the one last night was the strongest laugh. I don't remember the dream, but it was like to the point where I thought I was laughing. I might have laughed out loud or something.
Okay, so what happens? You come on the show tonight. You know, did you tell anybody these dreams? Are you telling anybody these dreams? Or does anybody know about this doll?
No.
Okay.
No,
you're
the first person. No, yeah, I felt kind of like.
Okay. Just hang on a second. Okay. So you come on the show tonight, and what's the first thing that I see? What did I say? What the
you
Lord
said?
Say?
Laughter. You just want laughter.
A gut busting, belly flopping laugh.
Yeah.
That's what I saw. I mean, instantly. And then I went into this thing that I saw you because I said, how can you be laughing? How can I see you with not just laughing, a gut busting, belly flopping? I think that's the exact word that I used, right? Do you remember any of that?
Mm-hmm.
Gut busting, belly flopping. Okay, just making sure you heard the whole thing. Because when I said it, I thought I can't say gut busting, belly flopping because, you know. But that's what I saw, so I had to say what I saw. And then all of a sudden, I saw you in a jail cell. You heard me say that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you in a cell. And it wasn't like you had done something wrong. You were in jail because you had done something wrong. It's like the container itself, the jail cell with the bars and everything, represented a place where you felt like you were, you know, sometimes you get in circumstances and you just seems like you can't get out of it. You know, it's not necessary. But in the jail cell, and so the general message became about, I saw you, the door opening up, and you coming out of the jail cell and entering to an open place. And the jail cell represented God teaching you to be content, not satisfied, but content. So in contentment, And true contentment comes laughter. You know why? Because the thing, when God puts you in a place that when you go through a thing and you start becoming, learning how to be supernaturally content in something, it takes you to a whole nother level. And things that are stupid, things that just seem like, this is crazy, what's going on with all this stuff? It just makes you want to laugh instead of you, I know you, because you told me many times, instead of you trying to, oh God, what's that? I'm trying to figure this out. I'm going to try to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. No, not now. What are you doing now? Now you're what? You're laughing. You know what that tells me? That tells me that in your dreams, because the only way I can say that is because the first thing that came out of my mouth tonight, when I saw you, was a gut-busting, belly-flopping laugh. Right? So I'm going like, this is crazy. And then I saw you in a jail cell. So you have to put all that together and look at what God is trying to say, which I don't know that I have all of it, but I'm getting a little bit of a clue here, that it's about you learning. God's been teaching you how to be. He's teaching you and imparting to you the ability to become content, which contentment just means the things that usually bother you, you just laugh about them. And when it's supernatural contentment, you have a gut-busting, belly-flopping laugh. You see what I'm saying? So has God been trying to tell you that maybe the news you got today, that this whole thing with you may seem like it's got you in a cell of, you know, limitation, like you can't, I want to get out of the cell, but I'm going to learn how to be content in here, just like Paul the Apostle, because the whole scenario about Paul the Apostle was that he wasn't in jail because he did something wrong. He was in jail because for Christ's sake. In other words, it wasn't something he did wrong. And that was the scenario I got with you. Like this jail cell has nothing to do with you have done something wrong, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Does that make sense a little bit? Go ahead and you can have it now. I mean, I had to make sure I got all that understood.
Yeah, just for clarification, when you say, so because you know how he was in the jail cell and you said the doors opened up. So being content within that jail cell, like not to live there, but just to, while I'm in there, to be content, or
yes.
I'm not quite
yes.
sure I understand.
Yeah. Well, the whole, okay, good. Good question. Really good question. Because the whole point that I saw about you being in the jail cell was, you know, Paul the Apostle learned, he says, I'll find the scripture here in a minute. Maybe somebody can help me find that if you're listening to this, about where Paul was content, learned to be content. But Paul had learned how to be content because here he was, the most powerful man of God in the earth at the time, because Jesus had gone to the Father. And here he was, you know, the image of most great men of God. You think about them being out there preaching the gospel and winning souls and people being, you know, the whole whatever. But no. The greatest man of God is locked up in a jail cell for not having done anything wrong but preaching the gospel. So he learned how to find contentment. In other words, he figured out that God has me locked up in here so I can spend my time writing. So he became content with, okay, there's something, God's got me doing something in here. So it took away the bitterness of it. It took away the harshness of it. And it showed him the purpose of being locked up. And so it gave him this contentment, wanting to be out, longing to be out and be with people and that kind of thing. But so, yeah, and so when I saw the door opened because it was because Paul or you had become content, not satisfied, not that you wanted to be in there, but because you couldn't help. You know, Paul couldn't get out. Neither. Sometimes we can't get out of things. God puts us in places that we can't get out of. And he wants us to learn to be content in those situations because he's doing something in our life. He's working contentment in you. And that contentment was so supernatural that it brought forth not just giggly, but laughing. I mean, and like last night, laughing hard. And then you call into our show tonight, and the first thing I said to you was a gut-busting, belly-flopping laugh. And you know that I did not have a clue about any of that.
Yeah. I just wish that laughter would come out in right now, you know, because in reality, there's no laughing. You know what I mean?
Well, not yet. Right. Because the thing of coming out of this jail cell of being locked into limitation and feeling like your life's not going anywhere, that's what the jail cell represents, is feeling like your life's not going anywhere, that, you know, you're just kind of locked up in this cell and you can't really, your life's not really going anywhere. Like when you're locked up in a cell, you're not going anywhere, right? You're locked up.
Right.
Maybe that you go out and go to, you know, work out a little bit, do some stuff, but you have to come right back in. Your life's not going anywhere. When you're in jail, your life is not going anywhere. So that's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So the jail cell represents that image that thing that you have, and God's teaching you. He's going to show you purpose in it. And when you see the purpose in it, you're going to realize, okay, I can be here or not be here. I don't want to live here, but if I have to live here, I can live here and I can be content with this. And that contentment is what opened up the door to bring you out of it. And the laughter God's giving you, and that what's so supernatural about this tonight is that the very first word that came out of my mouth was, you know, after I started ministering to you, was that gut-busting belly flop. I don't even know exactly how I said it, but I know the gut-busting belly flopping, because I almost didn't say belly flopping because I didn't want it to sound gross.
Yeah, well, there's no belly flopping here. It's pretty flat.
I know. Honest to God, you told me that before, and that's why I thought I better not say belly flopping. She'll think I'm trying to make fun of her flat belly.
Yeah, no, I wasn't taking offense. I mean, maybe if I had one that was floppy, then I might go, oh, wait a minute, but it's not flopping.
It's not flopping, okay.
No.
Well, I saw Jesus had he had a gut-busting belly-flopping laugh, and it had nothing to do with his belly flopping around. It had more to do with that he was so deep in his belly that he was almost heaving because it was so deep in his gut. You know, like belly flopping, like, in other words, this thing is out of control almost, you know. I mean, he was laughing so hard his stomach was hurting him. I mean, I literally saw him. I saw what he looks like, everything. I know what Jesus looks like. I've seen him in that open vision. And, so I always call that a gut busting, belly flopping laugh. And he didn't have a flopper either. That's what it looked like.
Right, right. As much as he fasted, fast for 40 days, you're going to have a flat stomach.
Yeah. I've done that. I went from 220 pounds to 180 pounds. I went on a 40-day fast. I went on several of them, but yeah, you do. You lose a lot of weight. People thought that I was dying. They thought I had cancer. Mm. Yeah. Scared.
That's hard. I think the most I've ever fasted was 5 days, and it was a juice fast. Boy,
okay.
That was hard.
It's hard, yeah. Yeah, it's best to just withdraw from everything, drink water, because once you get to the first 3 days, your addiction to food just kind of shifts over, and your body starts eating food from within, and it shifts over into it where it's not bad, yeah. But most people, if you do a juice thing or do a little bit of eating at night or something, or a little bit of snacking or whatever, it just keeps that thing alive where you never really quite break free of the Anyway, so okay, belly. So let's cut the belly flopping and just get to the flat belly laugh. Let's try that.
Okay, I'll take that.
So I'm sorry you heard. I had your bad news today. I'm sorry this happened to you. It's sad.
Yeah, I am too. You know, I sometimes I feel bad because every time I call, it's about, oh, Pastor Randy, oh, woe is me, you know. I'm looking forward to being able to one day call you and just say, guess what, instead of woe is me, you know.
Yeah,
but,
you're going to call in it, and you're going to say, Brother Randy, my belly really did flop, and it's flat, so it was really a big laugh. So I think God's trying to say something. Yes, look at this. Look at this, Martina, and I know you know this. You've been having dreams this week or the last few days about laughing in your dreams, and you said last night you laughed. You think you were laughing out loud in your dreams. Just think about that, and then the Lord says, here, I'm going to tell Randy about this so you'll know that I know about it because I'm doing something in you. I'm feeding you laughter. Even if you only have it in your sleep, I'm feeding it to you because it's just like taking a nutrition drink. You drink it. You can drink it in a couple of minutes. But once you drink it, it goes through your system and starts feeding your system. Well, obviously, the thing's going to take you through some stuff. The night laughs.
Yeah, and maybe that's, like I was saying, maybe that's why, you know, the Lord probably, you know, not probably, the Lord knew that, you know, I was going to be hurting and maybe was, like, preparing me for it somehow. I don't know. I don't know spiritually how that is. You know, I know that, you know, we being spirit, our spirits are awake when we're asleep. Our spirits don't sleep. So when we dream... Right. You know, it's a spiritual thing. And so, you know, just somehow within that unknown realm, maybe God was like, okay, you know, it's about to go down. Well, let me give her some laughter to, you know. I mean, I wish it would help me right now to feel that pain in my chest. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe somehow he's imparting something for me. I we'll see.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. It has to be that because when you're calling in tonight, I'm pretty sensitive. You know, I don't always get everything. Everybody, when people call in, I don't always know exactly what they're going through. Look at the first thing I said to you was, as far as when I started praying for you, was that. I mean, I don't remember I even said anything much of anything else other than the jail cell and coming out of the jail cell and. When Peter and
no,
Paul,
the first thing you said was about the, that was the first thing you said was about the laughter, and then you got into the other stuff.
Okay, so think about that. Think about that. Why would God be letting you know that? Because He's saying to you, "I'm involved in that. I'm involved in that laughter. That laughter is. If you hadn't have already been laughing, you might have been in worse pain than you are right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
I don't know, but I'm just guessing because. Only now, if I hadn't got the word about the laughter thing, then I wouldn't be able to put all that together, right? I'd say, oh, I'm glad you're getting some laughter. But no, the Lord shows me I see you with a gut busting, belly flopping laugh. So, you know, that's pretty right on. That's pretty compassionate. That's pretty revealing. Yeah, that God's involved in that because how am I going to know? I live in, you know, I don't talk to you. We don't talk up here on the show. I mean, I don't even really. You know, that's it, basically. I mean, you know, I didn't know you were going through all that. I should have came on and said, oh, I see your heart's breaking. I see your heart's falling apart. I see you got some bad news. That would have been, you know, but no. What did the Lord say? Just the opposite. But it was what you've been dreaming about, which is very revealing.
Yeah, I agree. Because it was kind of... It was kind of perplexing because it's never really happened to me before. I've had nightmares where, you know, I wake up or stuff
right.
like that, but I've never had it to where I was laughing. And, you know, it's interesting because a long time ago when I was going through my divorce and I was going through so much pain and I was hiding it because, there were my kids. I was trying to protect them and doing all of this stuff.
Sure.
And it was the weirdest thing how God creates us so complex in that when I was alone and I would watch something on TV that was funny and I would begin to laugh, tears. It was like the laughter turned into sobbing. So it was like, you know how laughter is a release and so are tears. But because I was holding in the sadness, for so long, whenever I would try to laugh, tears would just, I would just begin, it started freaking me out. Like I thought I was going crazy. So I would begin to laugh and just sobbing So it was like God's cathartic way, maybe, of making us feel our feelings, because I never did it with other people around. It was always when I was alone and safe that these tears would just start flowing. And so in that same thing, maybe God is using my dream, causing me to laugh, maybe to get out emotional sadness. I don't know if I'm making sense to you.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah. Well, laughter unlocks your belly. Your belly is where all those emotions and feelings are. And laughter is what, that's why the Lord said to you right away, not just laughing from your voice, like you can laugh, and but laughing from your gut. Your gut is where all your emotions and mental and pressure and all that is tied up. And laughter is what's unlocked. I had the same thing happen to me. I start laughing. I do the same exact thing you're talking about. I would be going through a hard time, be sitting there watching something on TV, and all of a sudden it wasn't really that funny, but it was just seemed so stupid. I just thought it was so stupid. I just started laughing. I couldn't quit laughing. Then I start crying, because laughing always unlocks, you know, that realm, that place in you. You know what? That may be the prison. That may be part of the prison that I saw was the prison of your belly area, because the belly area is very much like a deep, you know, like a pit, a place where things gather together. So that's starting. I'm starting to see that a little bit differently now. Like that was your suffering being in that jail cell, and then your laughter bringing you out of it.
Who knows? I mean, when it comes, you know, I so wish, like everyone else, that God could just say, hey, okay, this is the deal. Boom, 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 here you go. This is what you're going to do. You know, but all of it is so unknown. And I think that's why sometimes when you had mentioned the whole overthinking thing, that I would fall into that trap of trying to figure it out, because there's so many variables, scenarios, whatever you may think of, that could possibly be, you know, because there are some things within my sadness when you gave the word that made me go there, like that could have applied to. So I don't really, I have no clue.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't have a clue.
Well, yeah, I have no clue. I wish I so did. I really do. But
well,
we know in part, we prophesy in part, right?
Right, and we also, you know, that whole thing that we brought up tonight about you trying to figure it all out, we're going to figure this out. No, wait a minute. And then you start laughing. Laughing is not figuring it out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like the release of the thing you're trying to figure out. So sometimes laughter unlocks it to where what you're trying to figure out can, you know, get out of you, so you can
like
see
clarity.
It. Yeah, so like clarity, right? There you go.
Yeah, could be. You know, we'll see tonight. Am I gonna lie? Because you know, it's random. You know, I don't. You know, I dream a whole lot, and that's something I don't know. I mean, I know in the past you and I have talked about dream interpretation. How, you know, you don't have that gift as of yet. You never know, but. I dream, especially since COVID, you know, and I told you that I've been, you know, spending my time in the Word more and praying in the Spirit, like, all the time. Like, if whatever free time I have, in the shower, wherever I am, praying in the Spirit for hours and hours. I don't know if the correlation, but I have been having a ton of dreams and seeing things. Like I go to close my eyes and I don't know if it's, I can't tell the difference between if it's God or not, but I'm seeing things like pictures and stuff. And, so all of that, I mean, I don't, in these dreams and laughter and seeing things and I've been trying my best to write some of them down, but in the middle of the night, sometimes I get lazy. But I've been having a lot of dreams.
Right, right. So, and I think I've talked with you about this before, about how God's going to start showing you, you're going to start seeing things, seeing pictures, seeing, you know, things. I don't remember exactly how we said it. I can't remember the details on it, but that prophetic
part of
you. It's
hard to figure out what's God and what's you, you know. I heard someone say one time that especially if you're not really thinking about a subject, and then all of a sudden a picture comes in your mind, that sometimes that's a big clue. I don't know if that's true or not, but does that kind of thing happen to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, it does. And, you know, because I've tried to explain it to people, what goes on with that. It's the voice of God speaking to you. It's like, and this is how I explain it many times. I've said, it's like if I start telling you, you know, I see this house, you know, and it's a two-story house, a beautiful white house with big columns in the front, four columns in the front with, you know, a massive roof, and it's got a big rounded porch in the front with green grass with two trees out in front that are overshadowing the whole house. And you start picturing it in your mind, right? I mean, that's what you start doing. People start, you know, we have the ability to picture that in our mind the way we would see it. So what was happening was my voice, the voice of Randy, was speaking to Martine, and Martine was picturing that house the way I was wording it to you, and it pictured it in your mind, right? Basically, that's how it works. So it's the same thing. The voice of God, which we don't hear audible, speaks in us, and your soul hears it, your mind hears it, and it creates a picture or a thought process. It's the same thing. It's like, I'm God, I'm speaking to you, and even though it's not audible, God inside you, it forms a picture in your mind where where you see it. And that's a lot of times that's what seeing is God's voice speaking to you, painting a picture of what he's trying to show you or tell you in your mind, in your brain, like the screen of your mind. You know, like we project an image on a screen, you see it, you go, oh, yeah, I see that. That's what seeing is. Seeing is that, a voice speaking to you, giving you a picture of something, and you see the picture how you see it. That's one of the ways God speaks. So, yeah, that's what you're saying really right there. You're not thinking about anything. All of a sudden, the quiet voice of God within you, which your soul hears it like it's a language, and it puts a picture in your mind. And God says, this is what I'm trying to say, Randy. Tell her this. Like when you came on tonight, you know, the picture in my mind was, you know, I'm not saying you have a floppy belly. You know that. I'm just playing with you. But I saw you with a gut busting, belly flopping. That's what the picture was in my mind. And I told you what I saw. That's how that works.
That's true.
Yeah, it is true. So, and I found out you said it was true. It's not going to happen. It's been happening to you very unusually. I think it's another level of your spirituality. I think it's another level of you coming to a place of desperation for God. Being desperate doesn't mean everything's going wrong. Being desperate just means you learn to desperately seek God, even when everything's going good. You know, that desperation that you have of God, you know, I need you. Everything's going great, but I'm dried up. I feel like, you know, I don't want to backslide. I don't want to get my eyes on things. I want to get my eyes on you. And though everything's going great, you sit there and you're crying after God because you've learned how to be desperate for God in every situation, good, bad, or ugly. And I think that's what's happening in you, is that desperation in you is drawing that new level of your spirituality, of the prophet in you. It's waking up the prophet in you, so to speak. And the same thing happened to me. I've talked about it many times here on the show. In 2003, 2004, I went through hell, literal hell. First time in my life, I went through, you know, like something that I couldn't control. I couldn't do anything about it. And the more I tried to fix it, the worse it got. And, I mean, it was pain in my heart. It's like I had a knife stuck in my heart, and I couldn't get it out, Martine, for at least a year. Every day.
Amen.
Hurting every day. And that brought me to 2005, when on January the 11th, 2005, when the voice of a child spoke in my ear, sounded like a child, sounded like an innocent child, and said, there's a massive merger coming, which is speaking of the one world governments forming and shaping. That's really what the root of it means. And that's what he told me. And from that day on, I entered into a realm with God that was, you know, I've been learning to walk in it ever since. And it's been totally supernatural. And I already float in the supernatural already. I've seen healings. I've seen people, you know, get blessed. I've seen have work flow and word of knowledge. Like it's natural for me almost. That was happening then. It wasn't like I all of a sudden got, you know, the gifts started kicking in. I'd been flowing the gifts for a long time. But I moved to a level of a prophet that I never thought I'd ever be. Especially with the economy and the political arena.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying to you. It's like that pain, as horrible as it is, and you don't wish it on anybody. What it does between you and God is brings you out of a confinement zone you've been living in, and with laughter at a time you should be. To be a real good prophet and to somebody really hear from God. I should have told you tonight. My first words should have been, "Oh, I feel your pain. I see your heart crying after God. Your heart is breaking." But God says, I'm hearing your voice. No, but what came out? What did the Lord say? Just the opposite. You know why? Because just the opposite is what happened to me. All of a sudden, everything, I saw purpose in everything I had gone through. I wouldn't want to go through it again, but I saw purpose in it. And where it took me, it brought me to a place that I'd only prayed about and never dreamed I'd ever be there. And there I was. And that's what I'm saying to you. I think that's what's happening.
Okay. I receive
right.
that.
Yeah, you better. All right. Yeah, just hear what God spoke to you, man. I mean, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. Because
as soon
as you said laughter, I honestly, when you say about, oh, a prophet is a true prophet, I honestly, my heart was hurting so bad. I thought that's what you were going to say. Oh, you know, you're going through something or whatever.
Yeah,
when you said the laughter, I was like, whoa, immediately I'm like, my dreams, you know, I've been doing this laughing over silly stuff in my dreams. I wish I could remember what made me laugh last night, because that was like I said, it was, I think I laughed out loud because it woke me up. You know, I woke up like, what the heck was that?
Your belly was flopping, girl. Your belly was
My belly was flopping.
On,
it was rolling and flopping.
Yeah.
Yep.
Laughing out loud, waking yourself up, man. That's exactly what that's the belly flopping I'm talking about. It's like waking yourself up. I mean, that's kind of, yeah. That is so awesome, man. I'm sorry you're in your pain. I wish God would have showed me. But all I saw you was a gut-busting, belly-flopping laugh. So, you know, I guess we'll just leave it at that right now and see where it goes.
Yeah.
We'll be praying for you.
Absolutely. So before we close out, you know, I was always ask you to pray for me and Gregory.
Okay. Yeah, Lord, just pray for Gregory. Thank you, Lord, for the completion and the finalization of things, God. We thank you for you know, this whole thing of her being in that cell, confined, and like this, the circumstances, and feel like she can't get out, can't control it, can't do anything about it. God, I thank you for bringing her out of that concerning Gregory and the whole situation, bringing her out of the cell. Bring her in a place of freedom. Bring her in a place to where I no longer feel confined. I no longer feel like I can't control anything. I can't do anything about this. You know, we're not in control, but God is. But when God gives us freedom, you know, when God gives us freedom, that freedom, you know, can be whether we have, you know, Gregory thing going on or not Gregory thing going on. It's like God bringing to that contentment with that thing. That old thing, Jesus, and bringing her in that place, God, where she's content, you know, not satisfied, but content that it's in your hands, God. You're going to do what you're going to do, and she's going to believe you just to be content with whether she's in the cell or out of the cell, whether she's with him or not with him. It doesn't make any difference. I'm going to be with God. And if that's what God wants, then that's what God, like Paul the Apostle said, you know, I've learned to be content everything I need, and I've learned to be content without anything I need because I'm content in the Lord. My contentment is in the Lord. And, Martine, I can't even get away from that tonight because every time I open my mouth, that's all I can say is that whole realm about contentment. Contentment doesn't mean, oh, my life's going to be like this the rest of my life. It has nothing to do with it. It has learning. It's really learning to be content with satisfied with, if I had nothing but Jesus, that would be all I need. And if that's all I need, if that's where God's trying to bring me, then that's going to be the answer to everything, my spirituality, the gifts, the blessings, my material blessings, everything. And I thank you, Lord, for the supernatural contentment, God, is a thing that most people do not walk in. Most people do not walk in that realm. I'm talking about supernatural contentment. Not satisfied, but content. Like, okay, God, I can do without. I can live poor or I can live rich. It doesn't really matter. Wherever you want me, however you want me. And I thank you, Lord, with Gregory, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to him, opening up his heart, God, to make things, all things finalized, to let go, to let loose and let go, and help him to let go and to let God. Instead of trying to feel bad because he's not doing, what he thinks he should do or shouldn't do or what everybody else thinks he should or shouldn't do. God, I thank you that you will bring him to a place to where he sees that his life is in your hands, and Martin both, they start seeing their life is in your hands. And what you bring together, let no man bring apart. What you bring together, let no man put apart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Randy?
Yeah.
I know that we got to go. I know we've been talking for a minute, but I was holding my tongue about something because I just wanted to hear what you said. One of the pictures that I saw recently, now I'm like, okay. So I saw Gregory, but he looked old, like he looked like wrinkly, right? And
yeah.
He was wearing black and white, like he was in prison.
Like he was in prison. Wow.
You know, like the black and white that they wear in prison. And I wasn't quite sure what that, I when I saw the flash, I said, oh, and I rebuked in the name of Jesus. Oh my goodness. What is this? You know, what's it, here, there I go. I was like, what does that mean? Was it, is it saying that he's in the future, he's going to be in prison or something? Like what? And then later on, I started thinking, okay, maybe it's a spiritual prison. You know, I wasn't quite sure, but when you were talking about prison earlier, I thought of that, but then just right now when you were praying for him or us, that's when I said, okay, let me just. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm praying the same thing, and the same thing is what? Everything we said tonight as far as, being in that prison and being in the door opening up, coming out of that prison. And, so... Something about that. I mean, I wish I knew I had more, but
very interesting. Very, very much so. But I guess it will all play itself out.
It'll play itself out as you pray it out. As you give it to God, and it plays out
be
when
content.
We pray it out. and learn to be content, and because supernatural contentment is something much deeper than people think it is. It's being able to laugh when nothing makes sense. That's what contentment is. Supernatural contentment is laughing when nothing makes sense. And what's been your whole issue is most people's issue, and that's trying to figure it all out, right? So that's the thing that worries us. That's the thing that makes us not laugh, is trying to figure it all out. And I have the same problem at times. I do the same thing. That's why God's given me the laughter thing at times. Where, because I needed it so bad. All right, Martine.
All right. Thanks so much. God bless
okay,
you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. You too. Bye-bye. All right.
All right.
Awesome. All right. So God is good. All right. 754-2240. Who am I talking to, Reverend, please? I think this is Dahl and Tanya. Hello? Hang on a second. Okay, here we go. Okay, 754-240. Who am I talking to, Rick Company? Donald Tony, are you there? Hello? I can't hear you if you're talking to me. All right. If you want ministry tonight, get your hand up. I have very few people with their hand up again tonight. So if you want to get ministry to tonight, get prayed for. Obviously, Donald and Tanya are trying to text in and let them know that they're on, but they are not responding yet. So if you want prayer tonight, get your hand up there. All right. Right. Okay, here we go. Hello, hello, hello. Are you there? All right, I guess Donald and Tanya are not there yet. I'm going to have to try to get a hold of them here, see if they are awake. What's going on? 754-754. Okay. Okay, give me a minute here. All right. Okay. All right. Let's hang on a second. 754-240, are you there?
Unmuted.
Hello? Hello?
Hey. Oh, there you are. Okay,
hey.
I'm fixing to move on here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, I'm fixing to move on.
I got you.
Hey, Randy.
I got you.
Yeah.
Hey. Sound like you drifted off there a little bit.
Like
I can hear myself in the background. I don't know if you have me on.
Yeah.
If you can hear it, you have me on speakerphone.
Yeah, hold up. All right. Yeah, I took it off speaker.
Hey, what's going on, man?
You know? Nah, everything's good. Everything's all right. Yeah, I think I drifted a little bit. But
that's okay.
You're
not the only one, that's for sure. All right, I'm glad I got you. I rang your phone just to make sure. I figured you had. That happens to people all the time. Well, I'm going to meet you for a second, and I'm going to pray for you, and we'll do that, and we'll come right back. Thank you, Jesus, for Donald tonight, God. I thank
right.
you for that place in his heart, God, to
for that place in his heart, God,
for the conqueror inside of him. I had a little trouble with my computer tonight for some reason. Maybe I should change. Let me change something here. Maybe my internet. Okay.
Okay, I changed my internet. Maybe that'll make a difference. All right, cool. All right, thank you, Lord, for Donald tonight, God. I thank you for the heart of a warrior, for the heart of a, you know, it's like when you're in a battle, like when you're in a battle and you feel like you're, you know, and you're in a zone where really nothing's going on. It's like, you know, everybody's kind of just waiting. For some reason, the enemy's not attacking you, and you're not attacking the enemy. It's just kind of like you're kind of in the foxhole. But there's not really anything happening, and you're wondering what the next move is, wondering what the next thing that needs to go on is, and you're sitting there going like, okay, God, you know, I mean, are we going to move forward? Are we going to push forward into the territory that we need to be in? You know, or what's going on? And I can see all of a sudden a supernatural light like exploding in the sky and in the enemy's territory. And just blinding people, like all of a sudden the enemy is blinded, and that became the thing where he told Josaphat, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and Josaphat was standing still. You're standing still. There hasn't really been anything going. The enemy hasn't been attacking you so much, and you haven't been attacking the enemy so much. There hasn't been any big warfare going on. So it's kind of like quiet, and everybody's like going, you know, what's going on? What are they strategizing over there? What's going on over there? Are they getting ready to attack us? Or we're getting, what are we going to do? We're going to sit and wait. We're going to go after them. And so you just, both sides are just sitting there. And then all of a sudden I saw this explosion of light. And it's like, it's kind of in the night, it's in the nighttime. So when the light hit, it was even more explosive because it was at nighttime. And this light, this powerful light just exploded and blinded them where they couldn't see what they were doing. And then you saw that, like for some reason you saw that as a strategy, like, okay, God, look at that. You know, I mean, where did that light come from? It blinded them, but it didn't blind us. And so the Lord's going to show you how that, you know, he's done that in scripture before. He's done that in big, big, big ways where the light of God, like when, you know, one of the examples of the light of God breaking forth and doing that was when, you know, Gideon and his 300, you know, broke the pots. They broke it at night. You know, they wouldn't have broken during the day because it wouldn't have made a difference. But they were at night when everybody was asleep. Nobody was really doing anything. The enemy wasn't doing anything. Gideon wasn't really doing a whole lot except, you know, as far as warfare, except for, you know, they broke the pots. And when they broke the pots, the light just exploded, and it caused panic and fear to come on the enemy. So God's really teaching you how to be still and know that I'm God, Donald, and showing you that that his strategy is light. He's going to blind the enemy where there's not a lot of bloodshed. There's not a lot of, you know, he's going to make them helpless. The Lord's going to show you how he makes your enemies and his enemies helpless, where they can't fight. They can't do anything. They're destabilized. They're frozen. They, you know, in that case with Gideon, they started all killing each other. And then, of course, I think the army went in, jumped in, and started doing some things too. But just like David, when David went forth, the armies on both sides weren't really fighting each other, but Goliath was threatening. And all of a sudden, here came little David with one little rock in his hand, which is totally, you know, opposite of what anybody would think would win the battle, with one little stone through some guy who'd never even been in a battle in his life. And all of a sudden, boom. So the Lord's trying to say to you that, and also in the sense that He wants you to remain in that innocence, in that childlikeness of worshiping the Lord, in that childlikeness of like David was doing when he was, you know, he was taking care of the few sheep God gave him. And because he was doing that, all that taking care of the few sheep that was in his life was the training for the big day when he showed up at the scene delivering. He was a food delivery boy. He was delivering pizza to his brothers. Cheese and bread, they said. That's pizza. That's pizza if I ever seen pizza. So his father says, take this bread and cheese to your brothers. They're in the battle. And it's like, without even David realizing what was going on, his father sent him to go deliver pizza to his brothers that was in the middle of a battle. And all of a sudden, you know, David, something rises up in David, and he ends up, you know, running toward Goliath with a rock and saves Israel. You know, just the most unusual. And he did that out of the innocence of not knowing how to swing a sword. He had not been trained as a warrior.
And it wasn't about how great of a fighter he was. It was about the fact that he had his eyes on God. And that one little stone changed the scene with all of Israel. And when Israel saw that what David had done and David chopped his head off, all of Israel came out of the hiding and started chasing after the Philistines, when before it was just the opposite. And so it's just something I think God's trying to show you about yourself and the way he wants you to think and being innocent and not being a mighty warrior like some. That's the part of kind of where you are, and you're just worshiping God and loving God and keeping your eyes on the Lord and taking care of the few sheep that you've got. That's what his brothers accused him of when he came out to the battle to bring the food was, you know, go back to your few sheep, they said. Go back to those few. Go back to that those little things you're doing. We're fighting the battle. You're just like a little boy. You're over here. And yet he's the one that broke the ranks of the enemy and caused Israel to turn completely around. So I think it's part of the way God wants you to start thinking, seeing innocence of being a warrior that doesn't fight like you've been taught, like other people have taught you to fight, but how God's teaching you how to fight battles. Anyway, so what's up, man?
Now everything's good. Everything's great. That's a powerful word. Powerful word right there. I'm just trying to interpret it my way. I mean, it's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
What being said,
yeah.
But I'm just trying to
apply
let it sink in. And
yeah.
You know, cuz I know those instances in the Bible you know, like Gideon and, you know, they had a couple other times when, you know, they were just doing their thing, just, you know, just, he just needed them to worship and praise and even the Jericho. And then
yeah.
Like God just did, he just did the thing. Like, you know, as long as they were worshiping and praising and God won the, you know, he won the battle for them. And that's powerful. Knowing that, hey man, it's like God is just saying, hey, just keep doing what you're doing, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And the things that, you know, the things that's fighting against you and things like that, you know, God is going to, you know, handle that, you know, directly, you know. So,
yeah,
that's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, in the innocence of David, what I kept thinking about, it's like he's giving you a twofold, maybe a threefold thing to look at here. The innocence of David's heart was he wasn't a, you know, like people – you know, say about me sometimes, you know, you're not doing things right. You're not selling books. You're not doing the ministry like you've been trained. Like we've trained people how to make money and how to get out there and build their ministries and build it. You're not really doing it right, Chandler. You're telling people they shouldn't sell. You know, this whole like I'm doing it totally like a little child would do it. Like, oh yeah, we don't sell nothing. We're not gonna. You know, it's kind of like. He's bringing me back to the innocence of trusting him, you know, letting him make the way instead of me making the way. And that's kind of what I'm seeing with you. It's like God doesn't want you to lose that innocence of, I could take my one stone and turn this whole thing around, you know, because I know who my God is. You know, and he ran toward Goliath saying one thing, how dare you defy the armies of the living God? I mean, because he was there for God. As a warrior for God with a rock in his hand. And not only did the Philistine think he was crazy, lost his mind, like, you're going to be easy prey for me, man. I'm going to take you down so fast. You know, and so did all of Israel. Israel thought, oh my God, this guy's going down. He's stupid, man. He's like an idiot. Because they tried to put their armor on him, right? And he said, I'm sorry, I just can't wear this stuff. I haven't been prepared for it. And so let me just go with what I know. And that was the innocence, and I kept seeing that about God saying to you, you know, remember just the pure innocence of trusting me and not being able to go like, oh yeah, I've been trained by the greatest warriors. Saul, one of the greatest warriors of all time, taught me how to fight battles, and yet all those people that were taught by Saul were sitting over there, oh God, oh there's Goliath, oh I'm not going to fight him, I don't know how to fight, I'm not going to, you know, because they were full of fear, but not David.
Yeah, I know. I know. Like earlier, earlier, I was thinking about I think I was thinking about like lifting something up, and it was like real heavy. And I said, "Hey, you know, God
yeah.
was able to, you know, give Samson, you know, extraordinary strength." So I said, "Hey, I mean, he could give me extraordinary strength just to lift this up."
Yeah.
But it's just what you're saying. Basically, like in anything that we're doing, that, you know, God can do it. Like, it's like the God of the impossible. So it doesn't matter how small or how big. It's just like, just to put God into it. And I hear what you're saying regarding the innocence and just the relationship part of knowing that, you know, just having that relationship with God and trusting him for everything, every little thing, and just being mindful of God is like, you know, involved with every part of my life. And I hear that, like, you know, don't get lost, you know, just thinking, you know, it's something that you did or something that somebody else did, or just like you said, or the way that you trained and things like that. But to always, you know, always know that, hey, this is all coming from God, you know?
Yeah, and I think the innocent thing is kind of like the virgin thing. Like, a virgin is pure in their relationship with God, that they don't have a bunch of idols. They're not trusting, kind of trusting God over here a little bit, and then they got all these other things they're trusting in, you know, mixing in with God. In case God doesn't come through, I got all these other ways I'm doing it. So a virgin is somebody who doesn't have all those other things, you know, and that's the whole scenario I keep hearing about you tonight. This is what the Lord wants. In other words, the Lord wants you to know that part of you, to him, is beautiful. That part of him, the Samson, where Samson went out to battle with a jawbone of a donkey. Come on, man, that's like stupid. It's like David going out there with a rock. He's got a rock. Oh, my God. Okay, get ready. He's fixing to die. My brother, he brought some bread and cheese. Thank God we got the food first, because he's fixing to die. If he'd have gone after the Goliath before he brought us the food, we wouldn't have no food, because he's going down. But that's not what happened. He surprised everybody. And God is saying to you tonight, what I keep hearing in all the different messages, it's just like with Samson, the jawbone of a donkey, man. I mean, you don't fight with a jawbone. When has anybody ever fought with a jawbone of a donkey? This guy is untrained. He's unprofessional. He didn't know what he's doing. He's going to get whooped, you know. And you see what I'm saying? That vein of revelation tonight pointing towards you, really trying to encourage you, I think, and build you up in the fact that part of you, God doesn't see that as, oh, God, you don't really know what you're doing. You know, you're hanging out with the wrong crew. You're not being trained professionally. Blah, 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 blah. And the Lord's going, I got you right where I want you. Yeah, I'm training you. You're training and loving me, saith the Lord, and doing what I say and not doing what everybody else says that you ought to be doing.
Amen. That's comforting to know. Comforting to know. Because, you know, we all feel like that a little bit. I'm feeling like you're not doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you're not doing it the right way.
Yeah.
You know?
You haven't been trained correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trained.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You haven't been to the proper schools and, you know, you don't know the proper terms, you know.
You don't have the etiquette. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, that's, out of everything, that's real. That's real powerful and comforting to me, you know, knowing how much you know, God just cherish you know, the relationship, you know, just the innocent relationship that you have with him. And sometimes we think it's, you know, a lot more than that. And I think it's just to me, like, as you're speaking, it's just showing me like how much God just really like the intimate relationship. And yeah, just sometimes you might not be doing it, quote unquote, right, or you might be saying something silly to God and he's just like shaking his head or whatever. But
it, he loves
it. It just shows like, yeah, he loves it. He just, because it, in a way, that's just your unique way of being you. So he just likes it. Like, it might not be like everybody else and, you know, so generic and everything like that. But at the same time, it's just like, man, this is just how Randy is or whatever. I like that part of Randy. Or this is Donald.
Yeah.
I just like this part of Donald. And, you know, because I hear the same thing all the time. I hear the same prayers, the same type of thing, you know. But, man, when Donald speaks or Randy speaks or whoever speaks, it's like, man, it's a little different. I just it's just being so authentic, so just being themselves. So it just, I don't know, that is just that part of you prophesying is just that part that just, you know, just make me feel good. Just knowing that God's like, man, don't change that part. Don't change the innocent part, the way you trust me, the way you believe in me. You know. Yeah, that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And God thinks that's the beautiful part about you that he loves about you. And I think it's just encouraging you tonight, because we all get tempted. I mean, I get tempted. You know, I have people telling me, man, you need to hang out with that. You know, I've hung out with some pretty, you know, pretty powerful people, you know, and so they just thought I was so untrained, unprofessional on this. But what they saw was, and these people were very highly world travelers, world known prophet, world known. I mean, you know, when this person stepped up on the stage, you never knew what God was going to say and what was going to happen, because it was going to be, you know, really cool as a prophet. And I've hung out with that person and very closely, actually, and their family. And they just kind of like, at first they just took me as, and they told me this, I'm not just saying, they told me, they said, yeah, we didn't realize, Randy, that you were, that you had what you had. But now we see it, and it's amazing. And so they watched God develop me without any training. In fact, this person recommended, she said, have you ever thought about going to Bible school? I thought, a particular Bible school, Christ of the Nations. I said, well, yeah, I thought about it, but, you know, that's the first time I ever heard the audible voice of God was I went to a meeting at Christ of the Nations, you know, and I didn't even live in Dallas. I lived in, you know, eastern New Mexico. You know, I didn't even, I just came here for a meeting, and the voice of God spoke to me audibly, said my name. And so I'd always thought about that. I wonder if that meant anything. Mm. And it was happening in the parking lot of that very school that I ended up going back to, or going to for the first time to go to school. And it wasn't that they were saying you need to get professionalized, but it was more of, you know, Randy, you're so raw. You're so just whatever. And even though I'd pastored and done some different things, you know, I was still pretty rawish, you know. And they said, you're rough around the edge. They told me I was rough around the edges. That's what they told me. They said, Randy, if I think you're rough around the edges, this is literally what they said, if I think you're rough around the edges, that all the people that I know, this person knew all the big boys from Benny Hinn, the top, all the way down, if I think you're rough, these people are going to think you're rough too. And I went, in other words, I don't have much of a chance of going anywhere. That's what I thought with them. But you know what? Something in me, Donald, God's telling you tonight, something in me said, just keep pursuing me. Just keep following after me. So I go to Christ of the Nations, right, as they kind of recommended. They didn't tell me to go. Mm. They said, have you ever thought about going that? But that was the way that they approached me with it, or this prophet approached me with it. So I go, and so the same thing started happening there. And they knew all these people at Christ of the Nations. They very well, intimately knew all the leadership, knew the owners, knew the people who owned it, who began it, all that whole family. They knew them. They were friends with them. I they were at parties. The people that run Christ of the Nations and that owned it, like, what's her name? I can't think of their names right now. But the people that actually started Christ of the Nations, their family, were at parties. And I would go to the parties at this people, my friends, and I would meet them and shake their hand and, hey, how's it going? And you know, talk to their family. And I mean, we were all, you know, like they saw something in me. They're going, there's something about you. We don't know what it is, but now that we spend time with you, you're kind of rough around the edges. So go to Christ for the Nations. So I went to Christ for the Nations, man. And what happened was, what was so amazing was that before class, they'd have a little prayer time. So I like to pray, right? So I'd show up at prayer, and then and the leaders of the school, not the whole school, but the classes that I was involved in was the ministry, the pastoral ministry class, which was a big class. And they would come into that room and pray with me when I'm praying, because they were there to kind of lead the thing. And I started, they started asking me, anybody getting anything? And I would very sheepishly say, yeah, I do. And I said, I see this and I see that. And I started seeing things. And it had to do with what was going on at the very top from the inner circle, that nobody knew anything about what was going on except the inner circle, which these people were part of it. And God started telling me what was going on exactly with the inner circle, the struggles and the battles and the shiftings that were going on. Mm. And they went, and so they started telling my friend, they said, you know, this guy, I mean, we don't know who this guy is, but I mean, he's like telling us things that we know nobody knows, because it's classified information. Hmm. And so, and then before I knew it, dude, everybody in class starts, you know how they do, they'll walk up behind me. I never had them walk up behind me before. On my way to class, they walk up behind me and say, hey, Brother Randy. Oh, hi, how are you? I didn't even know who they were. You know, I knew they were in our class. They said, yeah, I'm going to the same class you go to. Do you have a minute to, like, pray for me? I'm going, like, well, we got to get to class, man. I mean, you know, I didn't come here to prophesy. I came here to go to class. I came here to go to school. And they said, well, if you don't mind. So pretty soon, they're interfering with my whole school. So my whole school became prophesying to people in my class. And I mean, it was just crazy, man. And then, you know, and so I'm trading stock market stuff in the middle of class, not paying attention. You know, and like I should have been, because that's what I was into. I was doing the market at the time, you know, and God was, you know, blessing me, and it was pretty good. But, and I ended up, you know, so that's what happened, man. It's like, you know, little old rough around the edges boy shows up, and God just starts doing all this crazy stuff. And pretty soon they're telling everybody that, oh, we got this guy, man. He's rough around the edges, but man, and I started hearing stuff about the market, things that these people knew, where they were very informed on world markets. They were very informed on world politics, very informed, prophesied to some, you know, some amazing things over people. And they're watching me, dude, get supernatural information in the market that they knew I knew nothing about it. Everybody knew that he doesn't know anything about this. He doesn't even know what he's talking about, that God is speaking to him about it and giving him specific information about this stuff. And they just started going, oh, my God, what's going on here? We don't know what's going on here. And dude, they found out. This is what God's telling you tonight. I want to weep over this right now for some reason. That, you know, people may say, you know, you're rough around the edges, you ain't got all stuff in it. But you know what? Just keep doing what God is calling you to do. Respect him and love him. And so my whole thing about school became about prophesying to, I don't know how many people I prophesied to, the leadership, the school, the word started going around everywhere. This guy will read your mail. God will read your mail through this man, because nobody knows what's going on at the top peers of Christ for the Nations but us and the people, the owners of Christ for the Nations. But God is telling, you know, this guy, what's going on. And then they would come to the parties that my friends would invite me to. They would, the people that own Christ for the Nations and ran Christ for the Nations and started Christ for the Nations are over there at their house. And like I said, I'm shaking hands. They're trying to get me to know them, trying to get me to minister to them. And you see what I'm saying? It's like Mr. Nobody, which I definitely was and am, you know, all of a sudden, you know, through the stones, the little stones God would give me, started opening up doors for things that I never dreamed of. And I could go on and on. I could go on and on and on and on and on. How God just started doing stuff, man. And I didn't go to. I ended up going to school, not getting the rough edges off, but doing nothing but spending my time ministering to people. You know what I'm saying? It's like it was just the opposite of what even my friends thought I should be doing. Just the opposite. I wasn't sitting there learning. I was texting. I was doing trading during classes, and barely making it. and prophesying to people. They had me so wore out. I couldn't learn anything anyway because they had me so wore out from prophesying and ministering all of that. It was crazy.
Wow. Well.
Yeah.
Well, it, yeah. I mean, from for that story, I'm understanding what God is saying. If because I always tell you, I grew up in a Christian background, you know, so all my family, everybody, you know, we grew up in church, real heavy. So they have their way of doing things, and yeah, they know I'm saved
yeah.
now, and you know, but. You know, they also know I'm old. I come a little bit. Like my mom, she know and she loved the fact that I'm saved. But she know I come sometimes a little different, you know, with it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Right.
And, but I could hear what you're saying. It's just that because there's one way certain people that I've been around, like they've been doing it. And that's the way that they know. And, okay, here's this guy, you know. Whatever he, you know, I've been serving God longer than him. I'm professional at serving God, and this guy, you know, he's a little raw, and
yeah.
you know, he's coming in, and yeah, he loves God, you know, but you know, he's not
he got it all together
how we think he should do it. Yeah, but it's also the blessing. What I'm hearing is just like, and that's the power of God. Just like how we all might think
yeah.
that this is the way to do it, and this is what God is involved with, and this is what, you know, he's blessing. And to see
yeah.
that something that, you know, you know, it's cool. You're looking at it like, okay, it's cool. He loves God, but you're not really giving him the respect. And, but you're seeing
yeah.
like, wow, but look what God is doing through this person. And that's
yeah.
the, I think that's the whole point, like God is trying to make that, like people are looking at like, man, how, cause they're probably asking, how could God be talking to this guy about my life? Like, you know, here I thought,
yeah.
you know, he wasn't, you know, he's a little rough around the
yeah.
edge, but God is specifically giving him like some real information about me. And it's just the same with, you know, I hear what you're saying. Cause it's the same way. Like if God is using me, and yeah, they might, you know, they might have their thoughts and certain things, but the power of God, once you see God is really involved, you can't deny it. You know, you can't deny it. So you might have your the way that you think, and you're like, man, you know, I don't know too much about his style and everything like that. But the thing is, when it's God coming through, is that you can't deny it. And then, but that just shows so much of the power. I think it renews people when they see like, wow, look how God is working, you know, through this person that I didn't really think much of, but look at God, you know. And I think it renews
yeah.
like the other people that's been serving for so long and doing it such one way. But just to see like, man, God in action. You know, and you know, I receive it because I hear and I feel what you're saying. I feel it because
yeah.
I feel it. I can understand exactly the story that you gave regarding yourself, and I could see it happening. I could see it happening where, you know, yeah, people like they've been in the ministry, they've been serving and walking with God for a very long
yeah.
time, and I would say I'm probably newer to the faith than them. So,
yeah.
You know, you probably sometimes you look at it like, you know, I've been walking with God for a long, long time. So I know certain
sure.
things. And so if I say it, you know, they'll hear,
yeah.
they'll listen, but it'll still be like, yeah, you know,
yeah.
I'm hearing what you're saying tonight. I'm hearing what God is saying tonight, and I definitely
yeah.
receive it. I definitely receive it because I always go after the heart of God, and I don't always go for everything that I do here and everything that people try to teach me. I listen, but I also go back to God, and I go for the meat of what is God saying, you know, and just through my personal relationship with with Christ, you know, and a lot of things I've learned, a lot of revelation and a lot of different things has been with my personal relationship with him, you know. And yeah, a lot of times I always ask God to confirm certain things and, you know, make sure that, you know, I'm hearing from God. And but a lot of things, and even if you go back to, I think me and Tanya was talking about this not too long ago, when we were just talking about, you know, being a father and being married, being a husband, and things like that. Yeah, I say I didn't learn from nobody. I didn't really learn, like, my father wasn't like that involved with my life. So, and I didn't have really anybody to teach me, okay, how to be a father, like how to be a father from a man's point of view, or
right.
how to be a husband, you know. So somebody, you know, sometimes I speak to other people about their relationship and things like that. And the thing is, somebody might say, man, how do you know? Where do you get this wisdom? How did you know how to do this? You know, with me, it's truly, I learned these things from the Bible. I'm just following God. Whatever I'm reading in the Bible, God's instruction, I'm just applying that because I don't know. So I'm just applying whatever God says, like, okay, how to be a husband. Like, you know, I'm just reading the word. I'm seeing what he's saying about being a husband, and I'm just applying it. But it's not like I went somewhere for around a few men and they counseling. No, I didn't have anybody. I didn't have nobody to teach me to do this. But I'm doing it, and if somebody say, man, how are you doing it? Where did you get this knowledge to do this and do that? I said, 90% of what I do and why I do it is because of the word, and that's where I'm getting it from. If I'm raising my kids a certain way, I'm raising them because I'm learning this from the Bible. I'm seeing how the men of God were with their kids and how they instructed them and things of that nature. So I'm copying them. If I'm learning about legacy and lineage and how much, like, I'm so much, I see it different where, man, I have to leave, you know, a legacy for my kids to follow. I have to build, you know, I'm building, like, generations and things like that. I'm learning that from the Bible. Like, I didn't sit there and, you know, for 9 weeks and that somebody taught me this is how a godly husband need to be. Or this is how a godly man raises his kids. Everything I've learned, I learned it from God, like, directly. I sat there with God, and he's taught me through his word and things like that. So, as we talk, I'm receiving what you said, and you know, I just mentioned those two examples because I remember I was talking about that, and I'm seeing it just manifesting to every aspect of my life as far as, like, hey, what you are receiving from God, like what I'm receiving from my relationship with God, the intimate relationship that I do have, to keep going that way, like to keep going that way. And 'cause God loves it. God loves the, you know, Just being like a child, and just receiving, okay, what God is pouring out, and, you know, just continue with that intimate relationship, no matter what happens, no matter how much you progress, no matter how, you know. And I thought about that, recently too, actually, now that we're speaking about that, I thought about that, and I said, no matter what, I have to keep this. What I'm doing, my relationship with God, I have to keep it. Like, the way I'm, like, I literally thought about that, like, not too long ago. And I was just like, the way that I am with God now, like, I have to keep this. Like, no matter how far he brings me.
Yeah.
No matter how much he blesses me, like, in the future. Like, no matter what, like, whatever I've been able to build, this relationship, whatever relationship I've been able to build with God, I have to keep it. Like, I have to do it. Like, I have to go into my prayer and speak with God the way I speak with him, talk with him, write in my journal, just cultivate that relationship that I've cultivated so far. I have to keep that no matter what. And cause that's the essence of my walk with God. That's it. That's really it right there. That's what makes my walk with God the walk with God. So if he blesses me and give me a different platform, and if I don't do this, then this is what did it.
Yeah. It's the same thing with, I lost him. Just getting back on here again. Am I still on? Yeah, I'm still on. I think I lost him there. Get back on here. There we go. All right, there we go. All right, I lost you, man.
Yeah. Sorry about that, man.
I lost you. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah. And what I keep hearing you say is like, you know, I think this is so important because, I mean, I didn't know where all this was going tonight as I started, you know, just speaking what I saw and what kept coming to me was that I think you really got it because the way God has been raising, it's like God, like your daddy was there, but he didn't raise you, you know, in the ways of God, like, you know, like, you know, you are now. It's like God goes, okay, because your daddy wasn't able to raise you or didn't or couldn't raise you for whatever reason, now I'm going to raise you. And it's like Jesus, like when Jesus was raised by his father taught him. He had a stepfather, but his stepfather, you know, Joseph was a good man, I think, but, you know, and taught him some things. But as far as his relationship with the father, nobody could nurture that but the father. Nobody could. Mm-hmm. Joseph didn't know how to tell him to do that. You could tell him about the Jewish law and the Jewish, you know, the you know, all the things to do with the Jewish, you know, rituals and all the things they had going on, but not really tell him about how to have a relationship with the Father. And so it's like God is raising you up. He's showing you, he's teaching you, and that's why Jesus would say later on, Donald, he would say, what I see my Father do, that's what I do. Why? Because the Father was teaching him the whole time about how to do things.
Hmm.
And that's what he's saying to you tonight. It's like, I'm showing you what to do, so you want to be just like Jesus. You want to say, yeah, I didn't go to school. I didn't do all these things. Nobody really taught me. But, you know, I did. My father taught me. My father taught me. I do what I see my father teaches me. You see what I'm saying? It's the same.
Amen.
When you see it, you can see how God is what he's focusing on tonight with that and how important that is to him that you understand that and not let, you know, religion, the religious spirit and whatever try to taint that and take away from that, making you feel less than.
Mm.
It, you know, that's exactly what they did with Jesus. They were constantly telling Jesus, who taught this man this stuff, you know? I mean, where did he learn? Where did he get his learning from? Because he wasn't of the tribe of Levi, which, you know, you automatically go to school for God when you're a Levite, right? If you're the tribe of Judah, Judah had nothing to do with the Levitical priesthood. So they're going like, he didn't go to school, you know, just like us. You know, he didn't go to school. Where did he learn all this stuff? Because even when he was a child, he had learned how to hear from God. And when he was a young boy, 12 years old, he's in the temple asking questions like, how does this boy know to ask that question? I mean, ain't nobody ever asked that question. How did he know to even ask that question? It was blowing their minds. Why? Because the Father was teaching it. And when Peter heard from the Father, Jesus so understood that, he so had an affection for those who learn from the Father are going to go somewhere, that he told Peter, he said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, the same Father that's been teaching me, just spoke to you. So get a hold of that and keep that, Peter. Keep that, because they're going to tell you after the day of Pentecost, they told these guys, said, these guys are fishermen. They are not learned. That's the first thing they told about the apostles in the book of Acts, was these are unlearned men. But yet, look what God was doing through them. And that's exactly what they told Jesus, the same thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think through that, God is also, because, you know, God gets his glory in every aspect. You know, when God truly comes through, you know, he gets his glory. And just the fact that, you know, when you're just being you and God is manifesting through you, and people could really see and they know that is, because that's what makes them know that this is God, because they're looking at, it's just the same with like Nicodemus, like how, yeah, he was one of the high priests and, you know, he was one of the guys supposed to be against, you know, of course, against Jesus and everything like that. But he couldn't deny, like things that God, Christ was doing. Like he couldn't deny it, like where it was messing with his head, where he had to come at night and, you know, in secret to come to Jesus. And, you know, just ask him questions. He said, man, the things that you're doing, he said, it's only through God. Like, it's only God. Like, he knew God enough to know that, man, I know, you know, the guy around, they're probably like, this Jesus guy is, you know, funny, weird. But he knew that, man, no, it's God. And that's why he approached, Jesus. Because he knew that, man, this is God that is working through him, but he couldn't do it in front of, you know, in front of the other Pharisees. And I think that's just the thing that God wants to do, like by, you know, me or anybody just being themselves uniquely. But once he comes out, it's just people around, they can't deny it. They can't deny it because of the way that God would use you and do certain things, like even if you're not learned and trained in their things, but just like you, like the things that you were prophesying over them, yeah, you might have been rough around the edges, but they knew, man, no, this is God. This is God coming through Randy. Like, no matter what we think, we might think, you know, he's not trained and he's not this and that, but one thing, when God come through, it's certain, the man's training is irrelevant. You know, it's irrelevant because once you see the power of God working, you know, and it's like God is just putting a stamp. Like, that's what I'm feeling. It's like God is just putting a stamp. Like, man, I'm raising you. You know, I'm raising you. Yeah. And I always think about these things because God always have a purpose for these things because like I said, like in my walk, I used to always want like a mentor. Like I used to always talk to God, like, God, say, man, God, I need like a mentor, you know, somebody to, you know, guide me, somebody to, you know, and I never really got it. Like I never got it. And as when I got older, it's like, you know, when I got like older with Christ, you know, it's like I understood, 'cause I don't think God wanted anybody else's way to like really rub off on me a little bit, you know,
right.
And I really wanted like a mentor, like a male figure, like to, you know, just to show me the way, you know. It's really, I've been walking, you know, I feel like I've been walking this walk a little bit by myself, but God has sent, you know, he has sent his people. Like, I might have my own idea of, man, I need somebody in the physical. I need somebody that I go to church with and, you know, all that. I need somebody to pray with. But in his way, even through sending PGN, sending you, you know, somebody I never met physically, you know, and that's just another power of God, you know, where in a way, you have been, you know, my mentor, the way, you know, you've taught and the way you've prophesied. Because you don't just prophesy. It's like when you prophesy, you prophesy with a teaching style. So, but that's just God. Cool. Like, it's like, that's, to me, I look at it like, man, that's just God. Like, plucking somebody from nowhere that I never met I never. Well, you got here. Here, listen to this person, and here, and but
yeah.
It's not just listening to this person. It's like you can hear, you know, just from hearing, you hear the connection with God. You hear that, okay, this is, it sounds true to you. And I just wanted to hit this verse because as we talking today, it's like I've been seeing this verse lately, and I forgot what chapter, but it's where it says, I'm going to paraphrase it. It says, we know all things because, you know, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And he said, we don't need men to teach us. We know all things. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, that verse like that. Yeah.
Let me look at that.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You have an unction. You have unction. Let me get it for you there, and we can quote it out exactly. I know what you're talking about. Unction from okay, here we go. Yeah, 1 John 2:20 says, I'll just read it to you that way everybody can know what you're talking about. 1 John, not St. John, 1 John 2:20 says, yeah, but you have, let's see, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might be plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And there's one version says you have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. Let me get the, I think that's the King James, the New King James. I think the New King James says it better. Let me go there to that. I think I like this better. Yeah, it says, this is what Don was talking about here, the scripture. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. And then it goes on to and it talks about later, it talks there somewhere about you don't need man to teach you because you got the Lord teaching you. And it doesn't mean that we don't listen to people.
Exactly.
But what we're saying is that Donald's saying is what prophesying to him tonight is that, you know, he's teaching you how to be a father. He's teaching you. He's teaching you. Not that we don't learn from other people, but the main thing is keep that thing where I'm teaching you. I may use Randy and some other people, you know, to confirm things, do things, but I'm teaching you. And that's what that's really saying.
Hmm.
That's a good word.
Amen. and I've been seeing that lately. I've been seeing that, like, when as I read and hear different that verse been popping up. So that's why I remembered, you know, as we talking tonight, because it's just like you said, it's not like saying, hey, you don't listen to anybody and anything like that. It's just saying that you got the Holy Spirit in you. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, which knows everything, which teaches you and convicts you. And, you know, so it teaches you. And as you read the word, these things, they teach you itself. And now other people, they confirm on what God is already speaking to you. And somebody might say something that you never thought of, but it clicks with the spirit that's in you. Like, you can prophesy something to me, but it's my spirit that grabs hold to it and say, this is it. And my spirit is the one that interprets it and mm-hmm. bring it to Donald, you know?
Yeah.
So
let me read 227 even says it more like what you're saying. And this is what you were really talking about. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And that's really what God's saying to you tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's 1 John 2:27, in case you want to look it up later. But yeah.
1 John 2:27. Okay.
27, correct, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the one you were talking. Oh,
yeah.
That was a better quote than the other one. 220 is not exactly what that one says. That says it more plainly.
Yeah. Well, that's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. There again, God is just confirming what he's been saying, you know, what he's been saying to me, and
yeah.
he's confirming it again through you, you know.
Right, right.
And I just received it. I received it, man. Yeah.
I know you do. I'm just kind of help. I'm a helper. The Holy Spirit's a helper. He just kind of helps us figure out that we're hearing from God. You know, we're not people. I'm not somebody's source, but I'm a helper. I'm a helper. I'm like the Holy Spirit. I'm a helper. I help encourage them. I help people realize that what they're hearing, if I'm talking about it to you, you know that I don't know exactly. You've never told me. You never even talked about that I remember of, that God's been teaching you that, you know, necessarily. And then here I am coming along by the Lord saying that to you. And so I'm just kind of helping out to know, to point you to Jesus. That's what my ministry does, is it points people to Jesus. That's the whole thing about the prophetic. Oh, my God. Just like with Martine, our first caller tonight. You know, she gets on the show, and the first thing I tell her is, I see you in a gut-busting, belly-flopping laugh. You know, and she just had her heart broken with some stuff, a really heartbreaking situation. Here I'm coming on, I see you with a gut-busting, belly-flopping laugh, Martine. And she goes, oh, my God. That was the last thing I thought you were going to tell me because my heart is broken right now. She said, but the thing is, I've had 3 or 4 dreams where I'm laughing so hard I'm waking myself up in my sleep. She said, Randy, nobody knew that. I mean, I didn't tell anybody that because I'm thinking like I'm losing my mind. And here you come on the show showing me that what God is focusing on is the last. So you see what I'm saying? All I do, all of my job is to point people to Jesus, saying he's already speaking to you. Look what he did for you already. Donald, look what Jesus he's already telling you stuff. And my job as a prophet is to confirm, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, flesh and blood didn't show that to you. Jesus Christ was flesh and blood. He said, flesh and blood didn't show that to you. Father showed that to you. What was Jesus doing? He was pointing Peter to the Father. And that's the true ministry of a Jesus person, of a man of God, is to point people to, connect them to the voice of the Father that's in them.
Amen.
And that's my job, and I love doing it. It's a blast, man. It's a blast.
Amen.
There's nothing like it. Nothing like
man,
it anymore. I wouldn't be doing anything else.
Nah, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, but man, it's something real special about the word that you gave tonight. Like, I truly feel it. I feel it like in my spirit, real deep down. It's just something, I don't know, it's just something real nice about the word that I receive tonight. You know, just something real nice. That's the best I could come up with. It just feels
yeah.
nice. But it just, I don't know. It just confirms, you know, whenever you go in a certain way and God is confirming, cause I'm really big on that. As far as God, please direct me, please, show me the way. And, you know, and I always pray that. And what you're saying to me is like, God has and is doing it. You know, I don't
has
really
is,
think
right.
about it like that. Yeah, but it's like, that's probably the biggest prayer that I have, like, God, direct me. You know, I ask God, like, direct me on anything because, you know, I'm always coming to him like a baby, like, you know, like I don't know anything. So I'm always like, God, please show me the way. Direct me, okay, or if I'm doing something, am I doing it right, God? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing it your way or whatever like that? And it's like God is just confirming it, but in just a beautiful way that, yeah, what you're doing, how you're clinging on to me, yeah, that is the way. Just keep on doing that. Keep on clinging on to me and allow me to direct your step and teach you in, you know, in my ways, in my true ways, and how you know, it's just like you said, it's like God is really raising me, like raising me up. Like once I gave my life to him, it's like he and you know what? You know, and I'm sorry. I know I'm speaking a lot, but it goes back to where I came from, as far as you know, being in church and it breaking up because of men in the ministry that weren't doing things right. And it's sort of, man, it's like, man, it's like I want to weep because it's like, you know, growing up in church and then, you know, the pastors and stuff like that, he wasn't doing right and the church broke up and we were like a family. Yeah. Like we were like a big, it was a good thing that started and it broke up and little by little, you know, that's where it started for me, you know, walking away from God and not really from God, but from church and things like that. Yeah. From God, I guess. And, you know, walking away because that was my sanctuary and anything like that. And that got broken. It was like a home that got broken up. And now that God bring me back, it's like, he said, no, I'm going to do this. I'm raising Donald. Like, it's like, he's raising me up, not like the church or not anything. And as we go on and talk, I'm just thinking about, you know, where I came from. And I'm thinking about, I just went back to that. And it's like, that's why he's doing it. Or I don't know if that's why, but that's what he's bringing back to my memory because I was already hurt in church. I was already hurt as a child.
Right.
You know, as far as having that family atmosphere and things like that and trusting and really trusting in men of God, like really trusting in them and was very shocked even at that age that, man, this is what's going on. And, you know, it just, I guess it did something to me more than I even thought.
Yeah.
I think it did something more than I thought.
You became an orphan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it affected me more. I never really thought about it. Yeah, basically. Yeah. I became an orphan. And
became an orphan.
It's like now
church,
God is, and that now it's like God is being very delicate with how he's, how he's bringing me.
You need to be no orphan for the Lord. I mean, the Lord loves orphans. I mean, I'm as you're talking about that, that's what I'm getting is like you became an orphan boy that day. Little orphan boy.
Wow.
Who because of the church situation, and God saw you, and he says, I love that orphan boy right there. That's my man right there. That's my boy. I'm going for him. I'm going to raise him. And it's like God showed up one day at the orphanage and says, come on, Donald, you're going with me. I'm going to raise you. It's going to be awesome. You know, I'm serious as I can be, just like that's what I'm seeing right now. It's like God says, I'm going to raise you. Even though you had a mother and a father in the natural realm, it's like spiritually your family got broken up and you were an orphan. It's like you know, yeah. So
yeah.
I've never heard of
anybody. I'm saying the same thing, Randy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
No,
that's
as we
like
speak, I'm seeing. Wow.
You were orphaned. The whole time you were talking about that, immediately the Lord said he became an orphan. That's what the Lord told me about you. You became an orphan spiritually. Yeah, man. I mean, think about that, dude. That's some heavy stuff right there. An orphan. And then I saw like the Lord showing up at the orphanage saying, you know, of all the kids, who am I going to take home with me? That little boy right over there, what's his name? Donald? Yeah, that one. I want him. Come on, Donald, you're going home with me. Getting in the car.
Wow.
He's a big old man, big old car, big old thing. You're like, man, I don't belong in here. What is this thing? Like, what? And then you begin to fit in. You begin to find your way with him, and he raised you. He's raising you like a father. Like, you know. That's what all the disciples were. They were a bunch of orphans. Yeah. And Jesus said, well, I just connected you, little orphan boy Peter, I just connected you to the Father. And the fact that Jesus heard through Peter's mouth the Father saying that, and he knew the Father told him that, he went, yeah, God just took in little orphan boy Peter, going to raise him up. I'm going to go away.
Amen.
I'm going away, but my Father's gonna take care of little orphan boy, and he's gonna become a mighty man of God. Plus all the other ones, you know. But yeah, that is so sweet. That's a sweet Jesus kind of word, man. The orphan that God picked up and took home with him. Man, it makes me want to weep and laugh at the same time. Wow.
And I guess that's why I was saying, like, the word tonight, it feels nice. Like, it feels like I couldn't really pinpoint the feeling. But, and I guess that's why I was feeling like that, you know, because, you know, that whole situation. And it's just like God was just showing, like, he's fathering and raising. He's raising me, basically. He's raising me. You know, and that's why I was like, man, but something about the word tonight, it just is different. It just feels it feels nice. It feels, you know, basically like you at home. you're doing what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
You're understanding that you had, through your family situation, the church family situation, I listen to you very closely, as I do everyone. I listen very closely to the Holy Spirit does inside me. And he goes, Randy, tell him, I saw his family broke up, and he was orphaned from me. He was orphaned from the church. He was like an orphan, and I took him in, and I'm raising him. And I'm going like, man, that is sweet Jesus stuff, man. My God, that just touched me big time when I saw that. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. My God, man. I think God. I think that, and we're ending on this, I think, as far as I can tell. But the orphan thing, dude, that is like the most sweet Jesus powerful word that I've heard in a long time about the orphan thing. I mean, that just touched the heart of God so much with you. He saw you hurting. He saw you in pain. He saw you suffering. He saw you going, you know, a different direction. Not because you were a bad kid or you didn't love God, was because you got orphaned. You were an orphan. That's where you felt. You were orphaned. And God says, no, that's just my opportunity to go in. And it's almost like God orchestrated the whole thing so he could get you to himself.
Yeah.
That's powerful, man. Yeah. Really, really
that
powerful.
Is, that is.
I'm going to be your daddy.
Wow.
And now Donald can say, my daddy can whoop anybody's daddy.
That's right.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I love you, brother.
Well, Randy,
you
I receive. I love you too, man.
And you are a precious man of God. And you and Tanya, and I guess I'm going to try to move on now. That was a precious moment for me, man. Hearing God say, you know, saw you as an orphan, a spiritual orphan. I know you were raised by your mom and dad, but as a spiritual orphan, my gosh, man. That puts it on a whole other level to me. Wow. Look what happened to Moses. Moses, the same thing. Moses went through the same thing. Moses was orphaned.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, right away.
He
got taken out of his father and father. Yeah, got taken off to Egypt with somebody else raising him. And then he got kicked out of Egypt by trying to save his family. And he was orphaned, you know, for 40 years out there. And then one day, the orphanage, the orphan boy, Moses, walks in front of the burning bush where his daddy's sitting there saying, you know what, I'm going to take you in, and I'm going to show you some mighty things. Yeah.
Mm.
Amazing.
Amen.
All right, dude.
Amen. Oh, yeah, before you move on, of course, because Tanya will kill me, if you could just pray for her.
We can't have you dying anytime soon. We can't get you killed. So I gotta take it.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll mute you, and then I'll pray for her. Yeah. I hadn't forgot about that, but always remind me. You know, I don't mind. All right, my brother, we love you guys, and your whole family are precious to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, man, I see you a whole different way tonight after that. I mean, literally, I don't even know what happened inside of me, but it was amazing. That's all I can say. Wow. Awesome, man. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon. All right. I'm going to pray for Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya. Well, we thank you for Tanya that, just like Jesus was made to take in all the orphanage people, all the orphanage boys, and raise them by their true father. Because it's all, Tanya, it's all about connecting people to the true father, to their true father. There's something in you that cries out for a true father, for a true father. I want the true father. I want the living father. I want the living father. I want the father of all creation to nurture me, to take care of me, to watch over me. And God, I thank you, Father, for showing her the vision
of how that God's going to gather together the orphans just like Jesus did, just like Jesus gathered me. I never felt like my mom and dad raised me. They were good people, really good people. But, you know, I never felt, you know, as good as they were, I never felt like I belonged to them. I never did, Donald, Tanya. I never felt like I belonged to my mother and father, though I knew I did. I looked like my mom and my dad both a little bit, I think, more my mom's side. But I never felt like I belonged to them. It's really a strange feeling. And I don't know if you felt like that or not, probably maybe not, but belonging. There's something about God wants to use you to make people feel like they belong, that they belong. It's like Jesus. Jesus' whole ministry was to all the orphans who really had natural mothers and fathers, but I think that they were a bunch of misfits who just couldn't quite fit in. And they were looking for something, weren't sure what it was. And then one day the burning bush showed up, Jesus Christ. He said, come and follow me. Jesus Christ was the burning bush, Tanya. And he says to you, come and follow me, and I will make you an orphan catcher. You're going to gather together the orphans and bring them together for God. Those who feel, they may have been raised by a good family just like me. I was raised by very good. My mom and dad are better than I ever could be. Good people, smart, you know, and I was just like everything, just the opposite, and just like a black sheep, so to speak. And so it's like God says, you know, I've allowed you to feel like that and be like that because you belong to me. You're mine. And that's before he even bought me, that I received his cross, his ministry to me as my Savior. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for showing her how to fit in, how she fits in, where she fits in with you, God, in Jesus' name, and show her that orphanage ministry, God, in the spirit like Jesus. That's what he did. He gathered together all the orphans and brought them to the Father. And that's her ministry, God. That's her calling. It's to call the people who don't fit in, who don't quite fit in, and are looking for their real father, their real daddy. Hallelujah. Let that spirit of evangelism come into her, through her in the name of Jesus like never before, and bring people to know who they really belong to, their Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Bless her, secure her, show her God, be her daddy like nobody's ever been her daddy, in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. All right, 864-439, who I talk to you from, please?
Walter.
Hey, Walter.
How you doing, buddy?
Good to have you. Doing pretty good. I'm going to mute you and I'll pray for you. We'll come back and talk for a minute. Thank you, Lord, for Walter tonight, God. We thank you for blessing him. We thank you for blessing those who bless him and cursing those who curse him and letting him understand what that really means, that the true blessing of God comes with a curse. And the curse is not we curse everybody who doesn't agree with us. We don't curse anybody. But those who curse us, which doesn't happen very often, I don't think. We think people that don't like us and come against us and maybe fight us are cursing us. And many times they're just in disagreement or they don't like us. But it's the cursing, those who are cursing us are those who are trying to deliberately and willfully undermine our life, undermine our whole calling of God, trying to undermine our callings, trying to undermine that, trying to counteract it, trying to destroy it. Those are the curses. It's not people who just disagree with this and maybe not even like you. Those are not people who are cursing you. Those are people who just don't like you. But people cursing, a curse is a really powerful, negative thing that we have to think about, that bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And so we have to understand it. So God's going to give you an understanding of what that means. Just like with when God first told Abraham that, Abraham was leaving his mother and father, and God spoke him, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. Well, he didn't realize that was his protection plan. So he goes into Egypt, and sure enough, he told his wife, he said, we're going to get to Egypt, they're going to want you because you're beautiful, and just tell them I'm your brother, so they won't kill me. And so he does that, and even though Pharaoh had nothing to do with trying to, you know, steal her from him, because he said, yeah, she's my sister, so if you want her, go ahead. And so he goes in, she goes in there and starts living with the Pharaoh, right? The top of the line, you know, king.
And all of a sudden, you know, the plague hit where they couldn't have children. All of a sudden they couldn't have children. So, you know, so different plagues come at different levels for different things. Like he was innocent in that he didn't have anything to do with, you know, we just said, we love your wife. Man, she's beautiful. Who is she? Oh, she's my sister. Well, can we have her? Yeah, well, I guess so. You better, because they knew. Abraham had a fear that they were going to kill him if indeed it was his wife, because they're going to, like, if we think somebody's beautiful, we just kill the husband and take the wife. No big deal. That way it gets rid of any problem, you know? So, so anyway, learning about cursings and blessings and what they're about, and God showing you that, how to enter into the blessing, abide in the blessing, and how within the blessing is a curse. And the curse is to curse those who curse you. Not who disagree, not who don't like you, but who curse you. Whole different thing, whole different level. And so understanding that is going to help understand how God deals with things. Anyway, so the blessing, yeah. Anyway, Walter, what's up, dude?
Well, amazing.
What are you doing over there?
Huh?
I said, what you doing over there? How are you?
Well, I've got a lot of challenges, man. I've got a lot of challenges. I end up taking care of my mom in the process. I end up, when you deal with fibromyalgia, and I'm tired of dealing with it, I'm in a place where I've got to get healed. There ain't no two ways about it. I've got to get healed. And because I was a caregiver to my mother.
Right.
Now, according to the chiropractor, he thinks or knows that I've herniated a disc. Or got a pinched nerve one. And I've been healed of it before in my neck. But I was in a different position then. I stayed juiced up in God's word all the time. It's been kind of hard to even read just a little bit because I was doing so much, taking care of my mom. I went from hours of being God's face to, going to exploits that God would take me on. And I got healed. I don't know what that muscle was. I did too much walking up and down the stadiums, helping this pastor. I was helping this pastor find someone that was his bus. And anyway, it blew out my leg, my muscle. Something, it got so tight, constricting the blood vessel. And that's what this one prophet said. And I got healed. And
wow.
While I was in
cool
place. But anyway, this guy, with that bus, the Lord had me go. He said, I want you to go to this I don't even know what it was now. It was, I think we went to go, yeah, we went to go see Benny Hinn. And while we were there, that's why I did my leg. I didn't get healed. And this guy, he literally, you talk about cursing somebody. He said, when we went back home, he was ragging me. I mean, ragging me hard. And when he came to stop, he told the bus driver, he said, don't stop, just throw him off. He literally said that.
Wow.
And, yeah, I was like, he's the pastor of the church. The Lord did take me by that church to just sort of go to that Benny Hinn thing. But anyway, I never met him before. I never went back. And one of the girls there, I met her there, and he was saying some stuff, but my spirit man just wasn't right. I said, something ain't right here with this lady. But when we got back, she called my home, and the moment I walked in my house, I felt the atmosphere. I said, I leave my house like this. There's something different here. It ain't good. It ain't peaceful. She said something. I don't know what in the world she said now, but that lady, I don't know how else to say it. It was an evil church. They're using God's name. They're using his word, but there was something amiss. There was just something wrong
right
there. But anyway,
right,
but what you said about, you know, someone cursing, someone just tried to do that. Just here the other day, I was seeing a snake coming out of a tree. I'm talking about a boa constrictor, huge thing. And then I saw some other things. And anyway, this is you were right on it. You were right on it. I was in a
wow
fasting place. And just pay attention to the Lord. Stay low. Stay low. Stay close.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you did pick up on that. And sometimes I just, Yeah, I feel the presence of the Lord all over the prayer. And I was like, you correct me if I'm wrong, okay? But I have seen it work. Not all the time, kind of rarely, but I have seen it work. I said, Lord, you know, these people need you and all that stuff. You play, you know, you pray for salvation and all that. And but God, keep bringing evil. So whatever you think, you know their outcome. You know what they're going to do. You know the end of their life, because he does. He does know the end of their life. And so I said, just get them out of my life, however you choose to do it. I'll let it go. You think that's the wrong way to pray?
Stick with the what?
Do you think that's a wrong way to pray?
No, not necessarily. Just, there's never a wrong way to pray when you're being, if the Lord's leading you to pray. You know, sometimes we ask God to blind people. I mean, Paul had somebody blinded once because he was doing some weird stuff. Other times he casts the devil out. Sometimes he just, it just depends on what the Lord's leading you to do. But blessing people that curse you, that's why the Bible says, do good to those who despitefully use you. The best way to break a curse off you that somebody's trying to curse you with, or not allowing it to stick to you, is to not get into the bitterness of their, because usually they're in bitterness of some kind, and they try to do things to you to get you bitter, get us mad and angry and bitter. And once we enter into that, we step right into the trap. So I think the best thing to do most of the time is sometimes I pray that prayer, every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn it. Sometimes you have to literally condemn tongues. That's the way I handle a lot of that stuff, is I condemn the tongues that rise up against me to judge me, to judge me wrongfully, you have to condemn the tongue, because the tongue is what the enemy uses to speak things on you to cause a problem. So you have to do that. I do that a lot when I feel the battle. I don't do it a lot, but when I feel under a lot of warfare, I use that scripture a lot. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn them. And I condemn those tongues in Jesus' name. And you're not condemning the people, but you're condemning the tongue that the enemy's using, their tongue, to do their stuff. So, but not getting caught up in the bitterness of the battle is the main purpose with, staying free from getting caught up into the curse of whatever it is they're trying to do to you.
Hey, Randy.
St. Paul told, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Well, he told one guy, he said, I think the guy was in witchcraft. It might have been the guy that he blinded, I can't remember, but Paul said, you're in the gall of bitterness, and that's really literally the truth about the curse in the first place. He told him, he said, you're in the gall of bitterness. Man, the gall of bitterness is pretty bitter. And so he had to take care of some business. And I believe he blinded that particular guy for a season, so he couldn't, function. And so there's different ways to deal with things. Anyway, go ahead.
Have you walked a place with the Lord that you were like in a bubble, and it was just, I remember you telling that one story about you were working and you were always reading. And all of a sudden, you couldn't read as much because people wanted you to pray for them. So you started pretty much evangelizing. And
right.
So I knew how you were drawn to that word, because I am so drawn to the word. But I've walked, from season to season. It's always different. And, if you stay close to the Lord, sometimes he'll just blow your socks off. And sometimes it's at the threat of death. He called you to go somewhere. I remember he called me to a church, and this is where I want you to go. And, sometimes the presence of God will be out in the parking lot. There ain't too many churches I can say that about, where you can feel the presence of the Lord in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but one. Anyway, I was walking the bubble during that time, but it was at the threat of death. Because there was not a witch, there was a warlock in there. And God sustained me. And he told me what to do, and I did it. But there's a massive difference between a warlock and a witch. Did you know the difference?
No. Not personally.
Well, Yeah, well, there's massive difference. There's strategies a whole lot different. But anyway, the bubble that I was walking in, you could just feel the glory of God, and you knew angels were around. You just knew. I've seen them. Not like that. Have you ever seen Sid Roth program, Supernatural?
Yeah.
Okay. You ever see how he makes these little short clips of what these people see? They see the angels, and it looks so real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I've never seen them like that. Not like they're showing. I mean, I've seen Jesus quite a few times. I've seen the Lion of Judah. I've seen been to heaven a couple times or so.
Right.
That was something. But sometimes you just feel like you're going to a drought. You ever feel
right.
like you're just all alone? You almost feel like you're a sinner. I mean, you know you're saved, but you're like,
pretty close,
God.
To, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I felt pretty low before.
Yeah, that's where I'm at now. I was like, dear Jesus. But anyway, and I know he's here with me, but you were talking about that orphan thing. The Lord just kind of, you know, I was sitting over here listening to healing scriptures and everything, and all of a sudden I just heard him whisper, call Randy. When I called him, I was, you know, about 12, after somewhere after 12, I was listening to that guy. I didn't catch the whole thing. But anyway, talking about the orphan thing. And that's pretty much
right.
how I feel. You know, the way you were describing it and everything, I said, that's a good description about how I feel about right now. I definitely feel like an orphan.
Right.
And by the fact, you know, I'm with the Lord and all that, because the way the Lord allowed me to be raised as a child, my dad was not a good man. But he's in heaven because the way God got me, and I prayed for him because the Lord showed me he's getting ready to die. I said, Lord, what do you show me? And he explained it. I said, well, I already know how to pray for this. And he showed me how to pray. And that's a big story by itself, which I will not get into. But my dad ended up getting saved.
Wow.
And not through me. Not through me. He got saved because the Lord said, pray for your brother. He had connections with my father, which my father didn't want to talk to me. Because as a boy under a prophetic veil, even as a young boy, I didn't understand. But I saw black and white. I mean, that's all I saw was black and white.
Yeah.
And I call him out. I just call him out. And he hated it. He hated it. And so,
right.
Anyway, as a 13-year-old boy or younger, I didn't know how to handle him. Because he was so abusive and everything, I walked around. And I feel like I think I really feel that now, some of those wounds, because, man, I stuck my head in a bottle, man, for about 20-some years, alcohol.
Right.
And when I got saved in 95, I knew that was it. I said, I am not going nowhere else. I got banged up in the church, man. You know those kind that think they know everything, they bang up on you? I call them Bible thumpers. They're kind
right.
of wacky, they, proverbially speaking, with the Bible.
Right.
That's why I left, in spite of the fact that I had some pretty supernatural encounters with the Lord, strong encounters with the Lord. I was so wounded, I just couldn't take the wounds no more. The wounding, the re-wounding. Didn't even mean to go back to the world. That's what I think I'm feeling right now. I feel like I thank God, they whispered to me, he said, well, you need to listen to that. I had no idea what was going on. I called. Didn't know if you were going to even be there. But, yeah. I was like, that's it, Lord.
Well, what he was talking about was when he was a kid and he was going to church with his parents, he said the church that they had was a very good family church. They were all close. They were all family. And then the pastor ended up doing some bad things and broke the family up. And he said from that time on that, you know, he didn't walk away from the Lord, but he started walking away from church and doing some things, you know, just doing stuff, just, you know, being hurt, being wounded. And while he was talking about that story, and I've talked to Donald many times, I said, dude, you know, the Lord just told me you were his orphan. He came in, like you were orphaned because of what he what went on with his church. You know, he had parents who raised him, but it's like when that church thing happened, you know, he started kind of walking away from church and not like a church anymore, something like that. And I said, right away, the Lord said he became an orphan at that moment. And so I said, I saw God walking up to the orphanage and going in to the orphanage and choosing out of all the children, he was choosing you, Donald, to be his boy and be his son. And, yeah, so that's kind of what went on with that. He said the Lord took him and started teaching him personally. And, you know, so that was kind of the whole story behind that. But it came about because of a situation with the church where the church was, you know, just fell apart and totally shocked him as a young boy to watch it all happen. It was very destructive for him. Yeah, as a kid, seeing that happen. So that's kind of how that happened. God's kind of saying the same thing with you. I said, it sounds like God's saying the same thing with you. Maybe you listened into that because that's what he's trying to say to you, that you're the orphan boy that that he came and showed up and said, I want you. Something like that. He took you under his wing and started, you know, showing you super things in the spirit. And pretty cool.
Hell yeah. A lot of things in the spirit, man. I was going to this one church, I don't know, I'll just say 15 miles away, whatever it was. And I knew where I was going. I wasn't lost. It was somewhat familiar territory. I saw an angel right inside the road, lit up, you know, not as a human being, but lit up white. He said, you're going the right way. I was like, why are you telling me that? I know that. I have no idea why he did that, but I did see that. I've actually picked up somebody once. I picked up a person, and I dropped them off.
Mm-hmm.
As I was driving off, and there was no way. By the time I looked out the mirror, that guy could have got anywhere far. And he wasn't there. Just wasn't there.
Wow.
Like, God. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's happened before and some other things. But anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I've seen so many different things. But you know something? It's not what you see that counts. It's what your heart is, Lord. That's the bottom line.
Right. So maybe this thing of taking care of your mom, maybe this is going to be a thing that, you know, the orphan boy's coming home taking care of his mother. To a certain degree, and God's going to do something with that, with your mom, if you serve her and do the things you're doing, that's going to, bring you back to him in a way that, you know, that's going to be better than what it was before. Like breaking up the old path and bringing in a whole new pathway. And when that starts happening, sometimes that's how you feel. You feel lost. I felt like that before. I wasn't backslidden and trying to go into the world, but I felt lost. I felt like, you know, I'm here, but I'm not really here. I don't belong here, but I'm here anyway. What am I doing here? I don't know what I'm doing here. And feeling lost. And most of the time when I came to that point, it's because God was bringing me to a fork in the road where I was going to move forward in a whole new way. And so sometimes that's what has to happen. It's like a rending of the veil. It's like we start feeling torn, like Jesus on the cross when he felt, you know, Father, why have you forsaken me? How do you think he felt at that moment? I think he felt like the Father and him were pretty close until that moment when that happened. And all of a sudden he felt like a sinner. Jesus Christ felt like a sinner because sin had been poured on him. He never sinned, but sin was poured on him. And he became sin for us. And at that moment when the Father, you know, whatever happened there, forsook him, you know, he felt like a sinner. But pretty soon, that was all going to change.
You know, I just can't thank the good Lord enough for what he's done for me.
Yep, he's your daddy.
I can't thank him enough.
Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, Father, for our brother tonight, God. We thank you for nurturing his belly. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost go into his belly, come up out of his belly area. In Jesus' name, where all of his feelings and emotions and pain and sorrow and grieving and feeling, you know, forsaken. God, I thank you for breaking loose out of his belly, God, exploding inside of him with light from heaven. That an explosion of Gideon's light, the light that burst forth into the heavenly realm, even from the natural realm, is using it through Gideon's breaking the pots and the light of God's glory, shining through that moment. Just come forth in his spirit, his soul, his body, in the very pits of his belly, God. Come forth in the name of Jesus and live and declare the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. From the pit to the palace, God. I'm feeling like he's in a pit. Bring him to the palace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
I don't know, man. Thank you. This is a hard place for me right now because I don't feel the glory realm. You know, I found out what sacrificial praise was. I didn't know what is sacrificial praise when you don't, you go to bed Saturday night and you're looking forward to church and you wake up the next morning, I don't feel like going to church. That's the head thing going on. But I was like, I know it's Sunday and I'm going to church. And I didn't let that warfare in my head bang me down, right? And one morning I woke up, heard this thing, I forgot what it was. I'll just say this right or wrong. You ain't going to church because you don't feel like it. And something just said, turn around and look at where your head is. So I turned around where your head was now because I turned around. I saw this spider walking the way. I went to smack it. It was pretty huge, too. I mean, it was not your average spider by no means. As I went to smack
right.
it disappeared right from underneath my hand. It was an imp, about big as a half dollar, just walking away, trying to. They saw me waking up. They saw me turn around and look at it. It was walking away. And as I tried to slam it, thinking it was real, it disappeared. I said, that was a demon, or whatever an imp is. All evil,
yeah.
Right? But sacrificial praise is when you praise even when you don't feel like it. And you're speaking in tongues, whether you feel it or not. You read the word, you don't feel it or not. I've been reading the word over and over and over. And if I just keep reading loud, eventually it starts moving on me. I hope this ain't a long journey here. Dear God, I hope this ain't a long journey. I'm tired of it already, man. You go from walking the glory realm where, man, I've seen stuff where I come home one day. I don't know if I was walking or driving, but I was angry, and nobody pissed me off. Not one person said anything wrong to me. No bad memories that I was aware of. I was just ticked off. I picked up a guitar. I just started to play, worshiping the Lord, put my head on a guitar, just worshiping.